Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and welcome to the Woman to Woman Show. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and it's a blessing and an honor to be with you on today. This is the day that the Lord has made. I am rejoicing and being glad in it. I invite you to go and invite somebody to be on the line today. Invite somebody to come in to listen. I have a special guest on today, Dana Neal, who is the author of No Longer a Victim, and I'm excited. I'm excited about what God is going to do here today. So I'll give you some time to text somebody, to call somebody, let them know that Pastor Rebecca is on the line with the Woman to Woman Show. In the meantime, let's listen to some music. Let's get ourselves excited about what God is going to do. And if you don't have a smile on your face, you will after this song. I'll be right back.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day, but where are my blue skies? The love and the joy that you promised to tell me it's alright.
I'll be honest with you,
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower.
When I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over,
I almost gave up.
hallelujah.
Know how to look up when you're down.
I know it's hard right now.
Show would hate to see you give up now.
Because you're a winner.
You look so much better when you smile.
You look better.
Thank you so much for having me. I know this has been a long time coming, so I am really excited. really exciting.
Yes, it has. Yes, it has. You know, I was like, wow. I mean, she has written her, what is this, your fifth book? Or how many books have you written now?
Well, if we think about the books that are in print, this is actually my third book in print. But
okay.
I have other e-books also. So this is, I guess you could say, yeah, this is about my fifth or sixth book.
Right. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So it is, like you said, we have been waiting a long time, but we finally got around to getting our schedules coordinated, to getting you on the broadcast. And I'm just so excited to, because I've been a part of the journey. So I'm just so excited to have you.
Yes, you have been part of the journey. Yes. You know some, if not all of my stories.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Well, let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you and we magnify your name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this day. This is the day that you have made, and we are rejoicing and being glad in it. Lord, I thank you for those in the chat room for Indiana Turner Show and calling to me for Gazelle and Miss Terry, the advocate. And I thank you, Lord, for I Am Inspired author Valerie Allen. And Lord, and even my guests, Miss Dana Neal, and those who are on the phone lines, oh God, listening in, oh God, those who have already called in to listen, every person who's listening via the stream and via the archives, oh God. I thank you, Lord, for each and every person that has come this way on today, God, and I just ask a special blessing on their lives. Even, Lord, speak to their hearts, Lord, even as Dana Neal and I and even the callers go forth to begin to minister and to encourage and inspire the people who will listen on today, God. We just ask, Father God, for a special blessing on this broadcast today, Lord. We ask that you save souls, change lives, set the captives free, fill us with power, and set us on purpose, oh God. We ask, Father God, that we not be the same when we leave here, oh God. So, Lord, word our mouths. Bless my guest on today, Minister Dana Neal. Oh, God, bless her and bless her indeed. And let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you on today. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, that we pray. Amen and praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Yes, hallelujah.
And, yeah, prayer to break those yokes, you know. But, you know, when we're doing ministry, there's always opposition. There's always going to be opposition coming along to try to stop you, to get you discouraged, to stop you from moving forward to do what the Lord has told you to do. So prayer just kind of, like, knocks the devil off of his feet, puts him under our feet, like you said, slaps the devil and drop kicks him so he can step on. Amen. Amen. So, Dana, we're just going to flow. I just want you to just get comfortable and, you know, not see this as an interview, but just see this as us spending some time together talking about your life, talking about your book, and encouraging those who are listening. Pastor Anthony's coming later on with the marriage moments, so we're excited about that. He'll be coming later in the show. And, again, if you're listening, put it on your Facebook, tweet it, put it on your groups, and let somebody know that Dana Marie is on the air with Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and we are getting ready to go deep. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So, Dana, let's talk about this latest book, No Longer a Victim. Can you just give us some insight into what the book is about and why you wrote the book?
Well, I must say that last year, early part of last year, when I finished one of my poetry books for married, intimate poems for married persons, it was not soon after that, or during that time that God, you know, had put on my heart that I needed to share my testimony. And I was like, okay, I can do that. You know, a lot of people know me that I'm transparent, and I don't mind telling you my experiences because that'll help you. But in trying to write the book, for the most part of last year, I tried to do it my way, and I couldn't get it done. I wanted to write it as fiction with based on a true story. And every time I went to write, that didn't work. Then I wanted to tell the whole story nonfiction, but that didn't work. And a lot of why it didn't work was because I had some inhibitions in me. You know, I was going through some things, and I was just like, well, I don't know if I'm ready to say it like that. I know I'm ready to say it. I know I'm ready to share me. I know I'm ready to help somebody else. I know I'm ready to do that, but I don't know if I'm ready to do it that way. So I went through some challenges, and, you know, I just kind of put it aside. And one day in November, we had our church anniversary, and one of the pastors who, you know, usually comes and speaks, he's a very good friend of our church, he spoke on the last day of our celebration. And it was almost like in the middle of his preaching and teaching, he just stopped, and he was like, the Lord is saying someone or some of you need to finish a book that he put in you.
Mark.
And I tell you, I almost fell out my seat.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, go ahead, whoop me now, Holy Spirit, just whoop me now. And as he went on, he said, okay, those of you who are supposed to do this, you know, you get up or whatever, and he prayed over us, he talked over us, a lot of us were slain in the Spirit, and he said, the reason why you have not done what you needed to do is because this is your story you need to tell, and you are afraid of what people are going to think.
Mm.
And I was like, wow. And, you know, it wasn't that I was, like, in awe of God, but it was just that, okay, Lord, so now you basically whooped me through somebody else. Now I need to get on my P's and Q's and finish this book. And the man of God said in 90 days, 90 days, and that was middle of November. So 90 days for me to finish the book in whatever way, shape, or form that I was going to do was February 19th of this year.
Yeah.
And so I wrote it down in my calendar. I said, well, I'm going to get on it. And a week went by, and I never got on it. And another week went by, and I started to try to type it again the way I wanted to, never did direct it to the Lord, like, okay, what do you want me to do? So the same challenges I had gone through most of the year, I was going through now in the latter part of November going into December, still trying to deal with my day-to-day challenges as well. Well, I had a fight, okay, a literal
yeah.
fight on the 27th of December. And I know you're familiar, Pastor, because we've talked about domestic violence before. We've talked about, you know, being on the other side. You know, for me, women always talk about when it's the man. You know, when you hear the stories about domestic violence, it's the man. But people will see, and I'll say later in my book, how it really wasn't the man all the time. It was me. Well, I had a fight on the 27th of December, and I was so hurt that day. What happened to me that day took all of my being, not the fight itself, but what happened that led to the fight took all of my being, like, God, how are you telling me to start this Praying Wives Club? How are you telling me to start this ministry? How are you telling me that my kids are going to be this and that, and now I have this fight? And on top of that, I have not done anything towards this book. That day I had that fight, one of the ministers called me from the church. She had something to share. She shared her words. I never told her I had this fight. God knew I had this fight either way it went. God knew. When I got off the phone with her and writing down what she said to me, I sat at my computer and I said, I'm tired of this, God. I'm tired of always going through. I'm tired of being at this point and always being at my weakest and people always hurting me. I'm tired. And from that point, I started to write the book. December 27th,
wow.
I started to write. December 31st at 5 o'clock, I was done.
Wow, you started to write the book on December the 27th, and 4 days later you were done.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was done.
Out
and
of
I didn't
obedience.
Think I would be done. Right.
Wow.
And
out
I
of
didn't
obedience.
Think I would be. Yes. Now, let me tell
yeah,
you.
Out of obedience, because you had gotten to the point of frustration because you were in disobedience. You know, and the Lord allowed you to hit that wall So now you had to get to the point where you totally had to relinquish all control and just do what the Lord told you to do. You know,
yes.
And like you said, call out to God, you know, and I just want to get back to this fight because, you know, this is a big part of your testimony, and I believe it may be a big part of your struggle because you have testified on the broadcast before when we talked about victims and when we talked about domestic violence, and you had talked about the fact that you, in fact, were the one who was instigating or not even instigating the fights but administering the abuse.
Right.
So now, are you saying that you started a fight? Are you saying to us that you literally went kind of like backslid and went back and started a fight?
I let a situation cause me to swing. So
you let the situation cause you to.
The physical part of it was the second set of the situation. You see,
okay.
I got some news that day that I couldn't just be humble, Dana, and sit down and just deal with it. It hurt me too bad. I couldn't see it. I couldn't even see straight no more.
Wow.
And then to have somebody in my face to basically antagonize me with the situation. No, I couldn't see nothing. Yeah, I started swinging.
Wow.
But you're not going to make me feel like I'm one less than a woman twice.
Wow.
And then that I'm too weak to stand for myself. I couldn't see it. And at the end of that day, the only reason why I went to that point of, Lord, I'm tired, was because, you know, it wasn't that just because of what had come at me that was against me. It was me responding.
Yeah.
I have to be strong enough to respond in a different way or, you know, be strong enough to say, you know what, do what you do because it's going to hurt you, it's not going to hurt me. That's when I got to that point. That's when I got right to that point. Not because of the situation, but because I had to fight. Why do I have to come to this, you know, whether you're a man or a woman, why should you have to come to the decision that you have to fight?
That you feel like you have to fight, yes.
That you physically have to beat up on somebody or hit on somebody to get the point across. You don't. But that was where I was that day. That was where I
right.
was that day. And I have to say, it had been a long time since I ever had a physical fight that to this point right here. And I said, I can't go back because I can't be a minister of the gospel and beat no folks.
Yeah.
I can't.
No, Dana, you can't. No. No, honey, you can't be a minister of the gospel and be out there beating on folks. You can't. You can't do it. You know, so, I mean, I'm laughing because, you know, we have to love to not laugh to keep from crying, you know, because I'm relating to you, you know, I'm relating to those early years when I wanted to fight my husband. You know, he was not a fighter. Pastor Amnia, he's just a gentle, smiling, happy, go lucky type of guy. And he hadn't done anything to in the early years, marriage was tough, and maybe he had said some words, or maybe it was just him being cold, because my husband used to be really cold, and it was just maybe him being cold that made me want to fight him. But more than that, it was what was going on the inside of me that made me feel like, that's what I said, this spirit came and made you feel like you had to fight. You know, and I would be the one to push or swing or grab, you know, or throw something. So, you know, I just thank God for deliverance, you know, from that.
Amen.
But I'm definitely relating. I had a flashback just then. I'm sure some of the other women have had a flashback to those times when you just felt like throwing something, when you just felt like hitting him. You know, hitting that person or running them over with your car. You know, we had women last week, and a sister testified how she was running this guy down, trying to get him because she wanted to do him in. So go ahead, Dana. Talk to us about how we get to that point. You know, that is, I know the Lord has something on your heart. Go ahead.
You know, I have to say that it takes a while. I can't speak from a man's point of view. And believe me, I'm not trying to disregard anyone because I've been on the other end, too. I've been beat up. I've been killed. I've been everything when it comes down to domestic violence. Really, I have. But let me say this. When you get to that point, and I think, you know, you talked about it earlier this week, Pastor Rebecca, on the Woman to Woman group on Facebook. You know, you asked us, you know, when you get to that point of you're so hurt or you're so confused or you're so this or you're so that, what do? When you get to the point where you are so blinded by anger that all you want to do is hit another person or you know, that your only way out of this corner is to fight your way out, it's almost as if you have to fall. It's almost as if you have to fall down and ball up and just, you know, call on God. And sometimes, you know, I have to say for me, you know, it's hard to call on God. You know what, Lord, let me just, not trying to put you in a box, but I can't even see you or hear you right now. And I'm just being real. You know, you can't say that You know God so well, because I know God so well. Okay? And I was like, how in the world in a matter of 5 minutes did I forget who he was in me? How did I forget that? And my thing is that when you get to that point, it's not so much, and I see a lot of the comments in the chat room, it's not so much that it's easy to leave. It's not easy to just walk away. It's not easy to just pull yourself out of a certain situation like that. Why? Because you have put 100% of yourself. For me, it was my marriage. Okay, for me, it was a relationship with another guy. If it was a relationship with my dad or my mother, I can walk away from, because I haven't put 100% into them. They put 100% into me. But with my marriage or a relationship, I put 100% of me into that. It's hard to just walk away when you're leaving half of you behind. So for me, I had to beat myself up after the fact. And thank you, Holy Spirit, because it was my fault for whatever happened that I went to swing. So you're talking about somebody who had to sit down and say, okay, wait. One, I forgot who God was in my life, so I done made God look foolish for these people who ain't even saved. Two, I have swung on someone I say I love. Okay, and then three, I put all myself on the line. Now I need to get that back. Why do I need to get that back? One, because God is supposed to be the head of my life and the Holy Spirit is supposed to live in me. Since that day, that was December 27th, since that day, I haven't had one of those major issues like that. Oh, I've had a falling out. Don't get me wrong, because stuff don't change overnight. But I've had a falling out. But I recognize what it is, who it is, and what happens. I've had some anger issues. I've had to get over it. I've had to learn how to get over that first. And that's what happens. When you get to that point where if you can get past that day or that instance, if you can understand that you have an anger issue that you have to get over, take no counselor that you're going to pay $1 million to tell you how to get over that, because it's you. You can pay them, they can talk to you, and when that hour is up, you're gone, you have to deal with those anger issues. No one can tell you how to do that until you talk to somebody who has a relationship with God and they can direct you to the right areas. If I didn't have some anger scriptures from my pastor to go back and look at to help me get over, I would have paid somebody off and still have an issue with anger and broke.
Yes, amen. So basically you're saying the word, you went to the word of God, and the word of God was able to pinpoint those anger issues and help you to deal with those issues, you know. And it's just amazing. The chat room is lit up. The phone lines are lit up. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I'm with my guest, Minister Dana Neal, and she's the author of No Longer a Victim. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that title, because she's talking about the fact that she is the one She's talking about a recent fight that she had where she actually swung on her husband. And in the chat room, you know, the chat room was lit up in Stan and Green Beasley, God bless you, and welcome to the Woman to Woman Show, saying that there is no reason that any person, and we have a caller too, Dana, but they're saying that there is no reason that any person, man or woman, should hit another person. And she, Dana, I'm sure you would agree with that. Would you agree with that? What do you have to say about that?
I would agree that there is no excuse to hit anyone. There is no excuse to any end result. Can you be provoked? Yes. Is there a way to get over it or get from it? Yes. Is it always going to be easy for somebody to be able to do that? No. Do they need help? Yes. I will agree that there's no excuse, but I can't say I'm not going to condemn that person. That's what I can say. I'm not going to condemn that person. I know that someone needs help. Why do I know that someone needs help? Because I was that person. I have to be that. Because I've been through that experience, I know that I'm the one that can be able to say, listen here, let's talk. Let's move away from this. If this is what you're telling me is happening, then allow me to tell you my experience and how you can get over that. Does that answer the question?
Yes.
Okay, because I also see that people have said something about, well, you know, a man was provoked and they shouldn't hit and blah, blah, blah. I can't speak for a man. I can only speak for me. And I was a person who could be easily provoked, you know. So if somebody just, you know, they just didn't have, and I have a reasoning, and I mean it's not a good reasoning, but I can answer you as to why. Somebody else may not be able to. So, you know what I'm saying? They can't be able, I can't explain for them, but that doesn't mean I'm going to condemn them, because anything that is a spirit, because anger is a spirit and an issue that can be healed by God, somebody needs to be able to have the opportunity to have that healed by God.
Amen. And, you know, we have to be healed. That's what you just said. We have to be healed. Someone in the chat room talked about unresolved issues, and I deal with that in my book, The Cry of a Woman's Heart, Healing the Pain of the Past,
yes.
Traveling to Victorious Living. We have to deal with our issues. And, you know, sometimes we get married to people and prematurely, and sometimes we are equally yoked, and sometimes we are equally yoked, but we still have those issues to deal with. And so we look ourselves in the face and say, I have issues, and I need to deal with my own issues, then we're going to keep finding ourselves in situations where we are acting outside of our character. You know, and it's my belief that the Lord wants us to be totally delivered from this type of, you know, even this type of behavior, from fighting. Dana, the Lord doesn't want you fighting your husband. You know that, and you know,
right.
know that, you know, and God has delivered you. I believe you've gotten delivered since this last incident, December 27, 2010. I believe that you have gotten deliverance, and I believe if not, that God is going to give you total deliverance to the point where you don't even think about raising your hand, you know, and that's where we have to get to that
right.
point. Dana, we have a couple of callers. Some people want to talk to you. I'm going to put this call on the air. I saw another hand raised. You can raise your hand. Are you ready to talk to some people, Dana?
Yeah, go right ahead.
I want to take two callers, and then we're going to talk some more about Dana's book. Amen. Area code 347, you're on the air. Welcome to the Women to Women Show.
Oh.
Yes, is this Stan?
Yes, it's Stan. Very, very good show. I appreciate, what's the name of the other person who's the person with you?
Dana Marie.
This is Dana. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I appreciate you telling the honest truth, how you felt, and you had to take control of yourself and things like that. I appreciate that you at least acknowledged that you had a problem, because a lot of people don't. But for me, if any woman would have done that to me, it would have been deal breaker. I would have stepped up and said, I don't want you to be part of my life anymore. I don't care, marriage or not. I've been in many situations that I had women provoke me, but the final choices to do that. It's never the woman. It's never another person. It's my choice. If a woman or any person, human being, could talk to me any other way and disrespect me and make me feel awful, but the last say is me. If I truly believe in me and I love myself more than anything in the world, nobody could hurt me. But you got to love yourself more than anything in the world. And a man or a woman has the right to disrespect you, has the right to not agree with you. Any person,
your husband or wife,
has the right to do that. And you have the right by the same token, to say, you know what? That is your opinion. I will not accept you. You have the right to say that, but I have the right also to protect myself and not accept that going inside of me. You feel that way? Good. You have the right to feel that way, and I'll never change you that way. You're not there to change other people. You're here to be the best person you want to be in life. You can never control other people. That's one thing my mom and my father always told me. And I think every woman and men, if they would have that law, a lot of people would not be victims anymore. And that's one thing that my mom told me and my father said. You can never control other people, never. But you could always control yourself.
Right.
Always.
Right. Let me respond. I really appreciate you, and I thank you for calling in. You are right. Everything that another person, you in a situation, decides to do, yes, that is your choice. That is your choice. And if someone were to do that to you and you said, yes, I'm leaving. I don't need you in my life. I'm leaving. That is your choice. I praise God that my husband, who is not saved yet, who knows the Lord but doesn't know him in a relationship yet, is the man that he is, that he loves me enough to let God beat me up emotionally and spiritually before he has to even leave me. See, the part about relationships, especially when you have godly relationships or you have someone whom you love, love outweighs it all. Love gives you the opportunity to say that person can be changed. But you, again, have to have the choice to do that. And you're saying your choice is, I don't care, let them hurt themselves and do whatever and move on. For me...
No, but don't you...
You
don't
know what?
You have
to right. And I understand that, and that's fair. But what I'm saying is that... Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I should never interrupt.
No,
go ahead,
okay.
I want you to finish. Your thought, because it is a very good conversation you're having, and I want you to finish your thought. Please finish it. Please.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you. I'm just saying, and again, I'm not disregarding anything you're saying, because even a lot of people that believe in God and believe in what he can do, they still believe the relationship too, but still be prayerful. So I'm just saying that I'm glad that we have the relationship that we have, and that he, in what he knows about the Lord, is trusting him enough to change me. And praise the Lord, as Pastor Rebecca said, the Lord has already changed me. He's already delivered me from that. He's healed us both, and now we're going on, you know, for the next step. And, again, I totally understand, and I understand what you were saying in the chat room. Some things are just inexcusable. And depending on who you are and where you are in your spirituality, that's totally understandable. I don't force anyone to think the way I think. I share my view, I share my faith, I share my beliefs, and then it's up to the other person from there. So that's what I'm saying, especially about this certain circumstance.
Yeah, and I agree with you. It depends what you. For me, that's a deal breaker. For other people, it could be cheating. Go with the same thing.
Yeah.
Cheating. Some people cheating is a deal breaker. Some people would say when cheating comes in, no, I'll deal with it and everything. But for me, hitting somebody or disrespecting somebody, I'll tell maybe the person once. But then after that, I cannot be responsible of you. If you know that you have a weakness in your life, that look, like I'm going out with a girl that has a problem with communication, I don't have that problem. Why? Because I had to look at myself in the mirror and say, you know what? I used to have a problem in communication. I need to improve. Took it upon myself to say, you know what? I need to become a better communicator with the person I'm going to be with. I had to go get some books. I had to go study, especially in 2011. You have so many information you could go get. so many. You have no reason. I would understand it back in the 1900s when we had nothing, but now we have so many books. So even if you don't have money, you just have to go to the library. And you have many books or many people who've been through. Like you, example of you, who could come and see you, a person who's been through it and say, you know what, I'm going to go see somebody who already went through this. Like you, you're an example of that. So
right. Here's
something more positive. The book that you're bringing or whatever you're bringing is going to be more positive for another person who's going to read it and say, damn, you know, she went through that and she understands what I'm going through. But for a person to not make an effort, what should I say? I took it upon myself to say every part of my life, you know what, in relationship I need to improve that. And I expect the same from my wife or my girlfriend. I am not there to change you. If you want to change, it is your responsibility to change. If you have weakness, it is your responsibility to become better. And you expect your partner or you to be the best. But he or she has to expect the same from you.
Right. I understand. Thank you so much, Dan, for calling in, because you helped to give the other view to this and the other help, because if we don't look at it from all sides, no one can be helped. So I really thank you for calling in and
thank you.
Your time,
thank you for
Dan.
A great show.
Please
continue, and thank you for a great show.
Okay.
Wow, Dan, thank you so much for calling in. God bless you.
Thank you.
Amen. Dana, that was a great call, another perspective, because we have to look at it, how many times we jump on men for hitting women. So, you know, that was good coming from a man to say, you know what, it's just totally unacceptable. And I want everybody
right.
to hear today that we're not here to excuse abuse, physical, verbal, emotional, not no kind of abuse, but abuse. But what we're here is to shine some light on the subject from the heart of someone who has been abusive. You know,
right.
Dana Neal has been in the sea of the person who would be called an abuser. And I thank God
right.
for you, Dana. To be able, and the phone lines are lit up. I mean, I said I was going to take two calls, but there's three more people waiting to talk to you. But I thank God for you being bold enough to say, you know, it happened to me, and anger hit me. What Dana said, what we have to hear, and we've been having the conversation in the chat room, is that anger came so fast that I just lashed out. You know, and I don't know, we don't know the details of what your husband actually did to you. I guess we have to read the book to hear that. But, you know, you could get to a point, and people are agreeing, there's two sides of the coin in the chat room. Some people say, I totally see
right.
it. Some people say, being super spiritual like me, saying that the Holy Ghost will hold you. He can help you hold that anger in check. And I only had to
right.
get there. See, I wasn't always here. I don't think
right.
I was born
right.
this way. I was someone who had a serious anger problem. But I had
right.
to get to the point. My husband said to me, he said it like this, I don't know what kind of Negroes, and he didn't use that word. He said, I don't know what kind of Negroes you've been messing with. He said, but woman, I will not put my hands on you. And I wanted to fight. I wanted to fight, but he would not fight with me. And that's what I'm saying. I had to like Dana, I had to check myself. But today, I could say 15 years married, that it's been a lot of years since I even thought about raising my hand to my husband. So there is hope, and there is light at the end of the tunnel. Amen.
Yeah.
And his name
yes.
is Jesus.
If I could say
yes,
this, Rebecca, before we take the next call, you know, you have to – I go through every day – thinking about how much I love my husband and my family and all the things that my kids had to see over the years. And I have to say to God over and over again, Lord, forgive me. Even though yesterday I asked you to forgive me, even though last month I asked you to forgive me of all those things of my past, I continue to ask him to forgive me of those things, because if I had not been in that mindset then, where would we be as a family now? You know, my husband always says we're dysfunctional, but okay, well, we're getting functional because God is in control. And God has been in control for months. He has yet to, you know, see that or realize that. But God has been in control for actually for a while, more than some months. But it's just every day it hurts my heart because of the things that I had done. And the part about it is in the book that kind of tells you how I got to this point of being so angry. We're not even going to talk about fighting, but being so angry is that I had to fight for Dana my whole life, just for Dana. If it wasn't with my mother, who didn't want me anyway, if it wasn't for my father, who was always having an argument with my mother about me, if it wasn't for the people I went to school with, if it wasn't for the boyfriends I had, if it wasn't for anything, you know, even right now, the church I was in for 13 years and then going to a new church, and now I'm experiencing church hurt that I've never experienced before. Come on now, I'm fighting for Dana. And I've had to fight all my life, and that's really what No Longer a Victim is. It tells you everything to a certain point. And it goes in the direction of right now, which was December, through when I was 3 years old. So that tells you how I got to that point in December. I was tired of fighting for Dana by myself. Every time I opened my mouth, every time I did swing, you know, and somebody is there. Because you know what? If it's not domestic violence against another person, it's domestic violence against themselves. Somebody has tried to commit suicide. Somebody has tried to kill their children or has killed themselves and their children because of what they had to fight for in their life. No, am I saying it's an excuse? No, I'm not. I'm just saying some things lead up to why people are angry. Some things lead up to why people are angry, and we have to realize that anger doesn't just come up just because somebody wants to fight. And I'm tired of people saying that about men that fight or women that fight. It's not something that just happened all of a sudden. It's something that built up over the years. So you're talking, like I said, things don't change overnight. It's because I have a lifetime. I'll be 40 years old in 2 weeks. I have 40 years of anger. My mother was angry when she had me. So I have 40 right. years of anger built inside of me and everything I have to fight for.
Wow,
so it's not
amen.
Just, you know, I'm sorry.
go ahead.
No, I'm good. We can take the next caller.
Yeah, I'm glad you went ahead and in the chat room, they're saying that's real talk, you know, and it's very real talk. You're keeping it real, and that's what it's all about, you know, because we cannot fix the problem unless we face the problem, unless we see what it really is. And you have pinpointed the issue, anger, you know, it's not even about fighting, it's about the anger. Let's take another call. Area code 414, okay. You're on the air. Welcome to the Woman to Woman Show.
Hello?
Yes, hello, welcome. Hello. You're on the Woman to Woman Show with Pastor Rebecca and Dana Neal. God bless you.
Hi, Dana. This is Kalita. How you doing?
Hi, Kalita. I'm doing well. Thank you. Thanks for calling in.
Good. I just wanted to make a comment to say that what you're doing and what you're saying is just real talk. You know, and I thank God for you sharing that. And I like what you said that you don't know, and you really don't, because I remember years back when anger came upon me and I ended up stabbing my husband. It wasn't because I wanted to, but the angry spirit came upon me, and before I knew it, I had already stabbed the man. So people, yeah, you can have Holy Ghost, you can be so saved or whatever, but when a spirit comes upon you sometimes, you really don't know sometimes. You really don't, no matter how much Holy Ghost you got, think you got. Sometimes things will happen for God to show us that stuff is still inside of us and we need to deal with this. Because sometimes you think things are gone, but they're still there. They're just, the residue is still there. So I like when you said that it wasn't that you was trying to be angry or it wasn't that you was trying to do anything, but it was just something that came upon you suddenly. That's what the devil does to us. And he wants to make us think that just because we make a mistake and fight or do whatever, that we're out of the realm of God and we're never going to get back. But the devil is a lie. Because I'm looking at you right now and hearing what you're saying right now, and you're strong and you're still in the realm of God. We're going to make mistakes. We can't beat ourselves down for making mistakes, but pick it up and keep on going. And your book, I bought the book. I haven't finished reading it yet, but I'm thanking God that you're no longer a victim. You're no longer a victim because you have understood what you need to do to keep going in God's grace and keep going for Dana.
Amen.
So don't even,
Amen.
You know, it's deep because it's about Dana. It's about God, first of all. But what you're dealing with, if no one has ever went through what you went through, you can't testify to what you went through. That's one thing people have to understand. You may say, well, I would never do that, but you would never know what you would do in the midst of your
right.
angry situation. You don't
right.
know what may happen in the midst of an angry situation. It's not nothing that you plan. I didn't plan to cheat, but in the midst of my situation, I cheated. I didn't plan to stab my husband, but in the midst of my situation, I stabbed my husband. It was an uncontrollable thing that came upon me. And you do things sometimes, but the thing about it is God gives us grace and mercy every day
right.
to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Yes, that happened. I'm going to confess that that happened. And Lord, I'm sorry. If you give me another chance, now I know what's inside of me. Help me to deal with this because it's still there. So, Dana, I just wanted to say, you keep going on, honey. Keep being real. Keep talking real. Keep writing. Keep ministering. Keep preaching. God, believe me, honey. Somebody is going through this right now, and what you're saying is what they need to hear. So I praise God for you, and I just wanted to just say that. I praise God for you, and I love you. We just met on Facebook, but you're my sister in Christ no matter what. And I thank God for you, and Pastor Rebecca, I thank God for you having the group. The women, because I know sometimes I'll be going through and y'all have helped me out there. So I just thank God for the women that's coming together and helping one another. So, Dana, keep going strong in God, keep going as strong. And remember, whatever mistakes we make is God's way of letting us know that things are still in us and he's still working with us. And if we confess it, he'll bring it out. So praise God for both of you all. Love you guys very much.
Well,
love
you too.
Thank you,
Kalita. Thank you for calling.
Bless
and I just
thank
have
you
to,
so much.
I have to address the caller. Amen. I have to address the caller, Stan, and everything that's been said up to this point, because I am a preacher of the gospel. Amen. And what we have to realize, you know, is that anger is very real. That's why the Bible tells us to be slow to anger. It tells us to be quick to listen and slow to speak. So, you know, when we got to realize that we do have the Holy Spirit as Christians, and the Bible says that God is able to keep us. He is able. God is able. God is able. We are not able, but God is able to keep us from falling. Galatians 5, verse 16, Paul is talking. He said, then I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusted against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. And this is what we're talking about today when we talk about stabbing and hitting and people killing their children and adultery and fornication. We're talking about the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like as these, which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. So what we have to realize, and he goes on to say, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us be desirous. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And that's the word of God. But we have to realize, Kalita and Dana and everybody that's listening, you know, that's why I said we're not justifying striking out in anger, because the Bible clearly tells us not to sin in our anger. And Dana, you talked about those scriptures. What we have to realize is there is a place in God where we can get, ladies and men, where we don't have to sin. You know, I don't care what anybody says. I will stand on that, and I will profess that with my mouth. And it's so important for us to realize the words that are coming out of our mouth. Listen, you will not kill your child. You will not beat your husband. You will not stab your husband. You will not. You got to get to the point where you're saying, you know what, for Christ I live and for Christ I die. You got to get to the point where the words coming out of your mouth are contrary to the lies that the devil's the devil is telling you that you got to act a certain way. No, you don't got to do nothing. And I know that's not ebonically correct, but you don't got to do nothing. And ladies, we are, somebody in the chat room said, why are black women so angry? You heard the woman's testimony. We are so angry because some of us were born in anger. And all of our life, Dana said it, all of her life she had to fight. I know what that feels like. All of my life I have had to fight, and now I'm fighting on the other side. I'm fighting to stand, and I know Dana is fighting to stand, and I know Kalita is fighting to stand. We have to fight to stand. The devil is a liar, and the truth is not in him. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We are not under the wiles of this world or the wiles of the devil. The devil is a liar, and he's already defeated. Dana, you got the victory. You already have the victory. You don't have to hit your husband another day in your life. He don't have that much. He doesn't have to have that much power in your life where you feel like you got to pick up something or raise your hand and hit him. You know, give him to the Lord. Let God deal with him. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go off on a tangent, but I just got to make it clear. We do not, listen, this stuff we're talking about is sin, okay? We do not have to sin. We're Christians. We do not have to sin. I'm going to say it clear. We don't have to sin. We don't have to. If we live in the spirit, and that's what we're fighting for every day when we get up. With a certain practice that we do on a daily basis that will keep us in the spirit. If we live in the spirit, we have the power over Satan. So, Dana, I'm giving it back to you. We have another caller, but I'm going to give it back to you to let you respond. I'm so glad to hear.
I'm glad to. Glad to, because this is helping somebody. It's helping somebody.
Amen. So I thank God for the people who are calling. I thank God for Kalita calling in, and for Stan calling in, and for everybody in the chat room, amen, who's with us in the chat room. And we're going to help somebody. Yeah, Dana, we're going to help somebody because there are people like us, like you and me, and you like me, you know, and I'm like you. And there are people like us who have to deal with anger. You think I haven't felt like, you know, and it just gets to the point where you get so mad. The truth of it is you can get so angry that you do feel like doing something crazy, you know. And if you don't, if you're not trying, striving to be in the spirit on a daily basis, you will do something crazy. So it's super spirit. I'm talking about being super spiritual here, y'all, because that's the only way we're going to do this thing. I'm talking about being super spiritual, so heavenly minded, that you are all that earthly good that you aspire to be. So I'm going to give it back to my guest. I didn't mean to take the floor for my guest, but I just,
you know
me, daughter. Daughter, you know me. You've been with me a long time. You know me. So I'm the same all the time, 24/7. I'm the same. And I love Dana, and I wanted her to come because this book is going to help a lot of people, no longer a victim. It's going to help a lot of people. Dana, we have another call. Let's put this call on the air. Area code 908, you're on the air with Pastor Rebecca Simmons and Minister Dana Neal. Welcome to the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Simmons.
God bless you, Mother Rosa. God bless you. Welcome.
I am so... Well, I always get excited when I join into your programs, and I'm super excited about this young lady. First, I thank the Lord that she was bold enough in the spirit to expose herself, because that's what she's basically done. She's stripped herself and made herself naked that she might do something for the kingdom of God. And that's a blessing. That's going to bless many women. Of course, you're not going to receive all positive, oh, how could you do that? How did you do that? Of course, especially when you say that I have been the abuser. You know, I was the abusee, and I understand a little bit of both sides, because even as someone who you, there comes to a point when you've taken so much, unless you are rooted and grounded in the Lord, you, and listen, one of the times when I was tempted to, oh, Lord, God help us. I was so angry, and I was going to church, but I did not really truly know the Lord, but I knew of him. And I thank the Lord for that. Just by knowing all of him, I was able to go home, get in the bed, stay there, cry myself, talk to the Lord. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And when I realized some of these things you have to take, not all of it, you have to take to the Lord in prayer. But the difference is when you accept the Lord, I really like what Pastor Rebecca said. But I also heard you say she was your daughter in the Lord, so which means then you're the mother, so you have a right to interrupt and speak and make it plain so people don't misunderstand. And I thank the Lord for you standing in the gate and making it plain that that stuff is sin. It's all sin. And you have to recognize it for sin. And, of course, the enemy, he wants to get us to the breaking point when we feel we have no other choice but to go ahead and do his bidding. But I thank the Lord for Jesus Christ. And I thank the Lord for the word who tells us now that we're in him. Our weapons are not fleshly. Our weapons are not carnal. They're spiritual.
Yeah.
We now have spiritual weapons. So with these spiritual weapons, we fight. We don't fight in the natural no more. I had a young lady years ago on my job, and I thank the Lord for Jesus, come and tell me what she was going to physically do to my daughter. And I sat down in the room, and I looked at her, and I said, honey, you don't really want to do that, do you? And she told me, and my daughter at the time, she had not accepted Christ. I said, you really don't want to do that. I said, do you know she's my daughter? I know, that's why I'm coming to tell you what I'm going to do. And I was thankful to the Lord she came to tell me instead of going to my daughter, because my daughter was not saved. And I said to her, well, honey, you truly don't want to do that. I said, because, see, then if you did that, it's not my daughter you're going to have to come up against.
Right.
And I didn't go any further than that, because I was praying deep down, Lord, just reveal to this young lady who actually was of another culture and from another country, which I won't speak, because we don't want people to get the impression that we have some hatred for other cultures who are like ourselves, especially, you know. And I just looked at her, you know, because and I knew the things that she was involved in. But I also know the God that I serve is all powerful. He isn't just powerful. He's all powerful, all encompassing. And she looked at me, and I said, you truly don't want to do that. If you have a problem with her, go to her in a peaceful way and speak to her. I said, but, honey, you don't want to do the things that you propose in your heart. Sometimes, see, we got to intercede for not only ourselves but those that we love.
Yes.
And we got to be in a position. We got to try to stay in a position where we can be an intercessor. Be able to get a prayer to God on an emergency basis. And how are we going to do that if we allow the enemy to come in and get us to, and we do get to that point. I've gotten to that point where someone I had to face every day of my life, almost every day of my life, I really, oh God, if I could just take them out of here, I would. But the Lord said, no, you forgive them. And you embrace them in love. I couldn't embrace, if you can't embrace them with your love, you embrace them with my love, the love of God. And you know, when you do that, when you say good morning, hello, how you doing, don't mean you got to be in their presence all the time, because you got to pray to even just be in their very presence. And you really don't even want to smile, but you have to. And you're not being a phony.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing what the Lord tell you to do.
Oh, say that, mother.
You have to do what the Lord tells you to do. Sometimes you don't want to be in that presence, but you got to stay there. You got to do what the Lord say do. You got to love them with all the love of God is in you. So you're not loving them with your ability. You're loving them with God, with the love of God is in you. So I've been on your side, and I've been on the other side. But I thank the Lord for Jesus Christ, because he is the, listen, when we get in him, the battle is no longer ours.
Uh-huh.
We got to press. And, of course, we've got to have these things, the word of God, deeply embedded in us, so we have the ammunition in which to fight with. And that's where our fight is. Read, study, stay prayerful. If we find ourselves growing, we call somebody, call a pastor, call another sister, go to your website, the Women Empowerment Group. Keep rehearsing those positive, encouraging things in your mind, and those are your weapons. Those are your bullets. That's what you take a shot with. And I thank the Lord for the Women Empowerment Group. I thank the Lord for you all. And I'm an older woman, but I tell you, let me tell you something. When I hear young women speak, you don't even realize what you're even doing for me. Because don't forget, when we were your age, some of the things that you young ladies are expressing, we could not and did not and dare not.
That's
we
right,
hid
mother.
Things. We kept them undercover. We thought we were protecting our men or protecting someone in our church because we didn't want to hurt people. What we didn't realize is that if we don't at least acknowledge what the people are doing, God's going to uncover them anyway. So we don't have to go out there and blaspheme them and curse them and call them names, and I get excited and my words go everywhere. But I just love the Lord, and I really love this show, and I just love what Pastor Rebecca, the Lord has given her, and what she has started. I love it, and I love you young women, the Lord. And anybody under me is younger. I'm just so excited about what the young women of God are doing. So, honey, may the Lord continue to bless you and keep you, and you stand. Mm. You stand, and you remember your weapons. You fully loaded. Tell her you're armed and you're dangerous because you have the ultimate power.
My God.
Wow. Jesus, thank you so much, Mother. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord for you. I praise the Lord for you for just sharing that and just really, you know, really speaking into my own life because, you're so right, and that was one of the things that we said at the beginning of the program was that I technically come from both sides, even though the more prevalent side is the one where I have been the victimizer, basically. But it's so much of what you said, like the experience with your daughter and how you praise God for Jesus that girl came to you. I had a man in my life when I was young who really was, he was an abuser, but he didn't abuse me. Every time he wanted to try to hit me, it was like he just couldn't. And one day he said to me, he said, you know, you don't fit in with the rest of these girls. This ain't your life. Why are you even here? Why are you have other things going for you. Why? This is not even you. And you think I could have figured that out then. But God. He knew he had to send somebody with a nugget to try to warn me at that time. I didn't get enough warning. You know, didn't know I walked in the prophetic when God showed me being killed at a payphone. I didn't even know the Lord well. I knew of him, didn't have a relationship with him. I believed in him, didn't have a relationship with him. God thought enough of me to show me with my little baby girl standing at a payphone being killed. My daughter's 21 years old, expecting her own child right now. And I had to, at that time, I was like, wait, hold up. I know two things. One, I know not to go by that payphone. And two, God, if you hear me, help me.
Yes.
Amen. Well, Mother, thank you
so
much.
So many messages that God gave.
Amen. Yeah, that was just so powerful. Just the call to have you come in and call and speak into our lives, into the lives of the listeners on today's show. This is good. This is about no longer hiding behind our titles and our hair and our makeup and our clothes, but being naked and not ashamed, being transparent enough to say that, I love Jesus, but I struggle in this area, you know. And I just thank God again, Dana, for you and your testimony, and you coming on the broadcast today and talking about your book. The name of Dana's book is No Longer a Victim, and in that book, the Lord has touched upon her heart and instructed her to give her testimony. The good, the bad, the complicated, and the ugly, to talk the truth, you know, about a woman in Christ's struggle, struggles, daily struggles.
Yes.
That we struggle daily. And I'm certain that she has given us in this book. I haven't read the book yet. I have to get a copy. I know Dana probably sent me a copy, but I didn't go to my business office this week because I just didn't. But I'm excited about reading the book. We're going to break right now, and then we're going to come back to Dana. We're going to bring Pastor Anthony on with the marriage moments. He's been here. He's listening. And we're going to have him talk for briefly about marriage for a few minutes, and then we're going to come right back to our guest, Dana Neal. So let us welcome Pastor Anthony Simmons, my wonderful, wonderful, wonderful husband, to the broadcast. Pastor Anthony Simmons, you're on the air. Welcome to the Women to Women Show.
Amen. Praise be to God, whom all blessings flow. It's just an awesome show today, and it's really ministering to the people of God in a real way. So I thank God for Dana and you having her on this show, because it is powerful what she's sharing. You know, it's amazing how we see in the life of Jesus as he walked the earth, when he turns over the money changer's table, we saw that character of anger displayed even in our Christ. But it's also even more amazing how he forgave in the end. You know, we always say forgiveness is a miracle in and of itself. So I'm just blessed that God has gotten some of us to the place, and I'm one of those people that come from a family of angry people, got us to that place where we really have gotten delivered from that spirit of anger. So I thank God for your guest today. And Mother Rosa, as she said, nothing is taboo in today's world. We got to disclose it and expose it and get healed from it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
But I just want to share very briefly marriage coming from Ephesians 5. Look at that 31st verse. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence or respects her husband. And that's powerful how, you know, the Apostle Paul writes this and gives instructions to the church at Ephesus on marriage, submitting one to another. But he ends that fifth chapter saying, the two becoming one flesh is a mystery. And we were talking to a couple last night that's going to get married this up next Saturday. And she was there talking to you and myself, honey. We've been married for 15 years, and you gave her some great advice. And there was another couple there married for 38 years, and they also gave us some great advice. They spoke on the two becoming one flesh are remaining a mystery, and if that couple continues to put Christ as the center of their marriage, they will succeed. You know, I talked to the fiance, and we talked to the young lady who's getting married, and they all excited about their wedding plans. And I remember 15 years ago, we were getting excited and ready for the wedding. But you saw the both of them having some jitters, and it was just so awesome. And I think God ordained that they got the chance to talk to a 15-year and a 38-year married couple. But Pastor Becca, one of the things you shared with them is to give 100% of themselves to one another. And that is so powerful, to give 100%. You and I, we know that's the reason why we've gotten 15 years of marriage in, because we really try to go and above and beyond to be there for one another. But, you know, it's one of the things that I see in the body of Christ, and it really is alarming. I'm a big sports fan, and sometimes, whether it's football or basketball, the coach would chastise his team if they lost, and sometimes he would say that it was a weak effort. It was a weak effort on their part, and that's why they lost. In other words, they had the players, they had the game plan, they had the ability to win, but their effort was weak. And sometimes we see that in marriage. So the first thing I want to talk about is sometimes with that weak effort, a team sometimes underestimates their opponent. if they know, you know, their opponent has a losing record and they have a strong record, they'll go into the game not really putting forth their best effort. And sometimes we underestimate the devil as Christians. He's trying to destroy marriage. He's trying to come against your home and your household. He's trying to destroy everything that God has ordained and put before you to be a blessing to you and your children and all of your endeavors. But if we underestimate the deception and the tactics of the enemy, we'll be deceiving ourselves. So we cannot underestimate that the devil is always at work trying to divide us as husbands and wives. So you got to be on your best guard and stay prayed up, be discerning in this hour, and allow God to show you in the spirit realm the things that's trying to come against your marriage. Number two, sometimes that weak effort comes simply because the team did not condition, they did not practice, they did not prepare. There's a term that says poor preparation prevents good performance. I think I said it. It's close to what I'm trying to say. Poor preparation prevents poor performance. And when you prepare in your marriage, as, you know, somebody said it on your show just now, there are many books out there. You and I have, we have a whole library on blended families and divorce and how to make a marriage work and the difference between male and female. We have a whole library. We invested money to go on marriage retreats. We sat under counseling, professional counseling. We did everything trying to be proactive to allow our marriage guaranteed success. And a lot of that did not come back void. And I want to say that to every couple, invest in your marriage. Put forth effort or find retreats and find married couples or a pastor or somebody that you look to and honor that you can get advice from, godly advice on your marriage, because we don't have all the answers. Pastor, as I listen to your show today, I come from a very dysfunctional family, and my father abused my mother. So, you know, when you tell, you know, your listening audience sometimes you wanted to fight me, there was nothing in my DNA to hear that my father was that kind of a man that I wanted to line up with that. So, you know, I know that God got us to this place where we have such a peace in our marriage and a peace in our home, and I know he's going to respect our person, but you got to do your part. And finally, number three, sometimes that team goes into the game, and this is the most alarming and most scary thing, is that they don't care if they win or lose. And if you ever get there in your marriage, that's where God does not want you to be, where you're depressed because of problems that you feel as though you can't resolve. You get to the place where you think it's hopeless. You get to the place where you don't even receive sound and godly counsel. And the Bible says, in a multitude of counsel, there is safety. And I tell you, the word of God will not come back void. There are many scriptures in the Bible that will allow you to see where your marriage is lacking, and it will begin to stir you in the right direction. You know, I lived on that scripture for years. Be slow to anger. Be quick to listen. Be slow to speak. That thing was in my wallet. It was in my personal notes for years because I had this anger issue. And I tried to hear the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that said, be slow to anger. We got to do that. We got to be slow to anger. So I just want to share that with our married couples today that, you know, don't underestimate the enemy, the devil. If you're tired and weary, Jesus said, come to me and I'll give you a rest. And never get to the place where you become hopeless. Get to the place where you put your pride down and go seek help in a timely fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Amen, Pastor Rebecca. That's all I have.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Thank
That's
you, Jesus.
Wonderful.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Is Pastor Emily still with us?
Yes, I just ended my segment. You want me, you know, I can keep going. But
no, I'm back. Yes, but that was powerful, honey. I mean, really, and it's just so apropos to what we were talking about on today. You know, either getting angry in our relationships, you know, to the point where you would want to lash out, you and I, you know, and just backing up the testimony that, you know, we've been there, done that, and thank God we are not going back.
Praise God. Yes.
Honey?
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
And that's what God wants in this hour. You know, I was saying with our church recently that, you know, signs, wonders, and miracles shall follow those who believe. We don't want to look good and we don't want to look the part, but we want real deliverance.
Yes, yes.
We want real healing. We want our marriages to really exemplify and show people what a godly marriage and a godly household should look
like. Should be, yes.
And that's what people are hungry for. And that couple that's about to get married, they were sitting there just receiving the information because both of them were saying, we know we're going to go through seasons where it's going to be rough. But, you know, talking to people like you guys that got through those moments encourages us. You know, they were getting a little, you know, nervous and a little anxious and not cold feet, but they were a little, you know, uncertain. And marriage is a big step. But they were so encouraged that, you know, after the wedding, the marriage starts, and they realize that the wedding is not the marriage. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Well, we have Green Beasley in the chat room, and they're saying keep going. That's common sense. So, and Minister Valerie Allen is saying that it was a great marriage moment, you know, and it just really, really does.
Yes.
It's a great testimony, you know, and God is going to get all of us to that point. Minister Dana Neal with us was saying that her husband is not saved, you know, so you and I have, you know, we have an added benefit that we both are striving to please God, you know, and it's not as easy, you know, getting to that place where one of the spouses is not saved, you know, but it's possible, you know,
yeah.
All things possible with God. Like Mother was saying, as you pray, God can turn that situation around. So, honey, thank you so much. I want to get back to our guest and let her talk some more about No Longer a Victim, which is the name of her book. So unless you do you have anything else? I want you to stay with us because I know Pastor Larry is trying to, and he's called this also. We don't want him to be the only man again.
Praise the Lord.
You know, that's all I have. And again, we do have situations where, you know, one spouse is saved and the other's not saved. And I just thank God for the Word of God that has scriptures and evidence, even for those circumstances. And we really can do all things through Christ.
Amen. Amen. Yes. And that's a powerful thank you because the Bible says the wife can win him over. So to God be the glory. We're believing for Dana's husband. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Honey, thank you so much. I love you. Thank you so much for being with us on today. So, Dana Marie, we're going to give you back the floor. We have 36 minutes, and I know people are still – the phone lines are hot. The chat room is full, and I know there will be more people that want to talk to you. So I want you to talk a little bit more about your book. Let us know I'm talking with Dana Marie. She's the author of No Longer a Victim. And her book is a newly released book. And you can get it on Amazon, and she's going to tell you other places where you can actually pick up a copy of your own copy of the book. Dana Marie, go ahead and tell us where we can get your book.
You can get the book on Amazon.com, either in print or on Kindle, which is the digital e-reader, I think they call it. And the price has just gone up because I also put it on Barnes & Noble, their e-reader, and it's called Nook. So because it's gone to many places, the price has gone up as suggestion from the publisher. So it's $20 in print now, and it's $10 On Amazon, it's $20. It's $10 on Kindle, and it's $20 on Barnes & Noble. So you can also just go to my website, which is www.danamarie.info, and you can go to the various websites from there without having to go to each one, and then you can see my other products that I have for Dana Marie, besides No Longer a Victim.
And Dana, I just want to let you know that on Amazon today, your book is $12.
Oh, yes. Is it good? Okay, get it right away.
Get it right away. Buy it today. They slashed the price, and they have $20. It was $20, but they have it at $12. So $12, and you save $8 on Dana's book today. Isn't that wonderful? So if you order it today, you can save 40% on her book. And it is in stock, No Longer a Victim. It's paperback. The author is Dana Marie. And then also, she's right, for the e-reader, it is, I don't see that price, but what is the price on the e-reader or Kindle?
It could, if they reduced it for the book, then they reduce it on the e-reader, and it's $6.99.
Okay. Okay, yes, praise God. So you want to get your copy today. No, they didn't reduce it on the Kindle. It's $9.99
okay.
on Kindle. So it's $12
okay.
for paperback, and it's $9.99 on the Kindle. So get a copy. Support this author. She has, and not only that, but this book is going to help you no matter what you're dealing with. We want you to support her, but we also want you to buy the book and read the book, because this book is going to help you in so many ways. I just know it, and I'm looking forward to reading my copy, because there is, I believe that God is going to speak to you through the pages of this book, no matter where you are, no matter what you're dealing with. So go ahead and pick up, go to Amazon now, and go ahead and pick up a copy of the book while it's $12. I like paperback. I have an extensive library, so I definitely am going to get it in paperback form. So, Dana, talk to us before we take another call. Talk to us about the book. And you know, we stopped at your testimony where you were talking about the Lord told you to write a book, and then you had this fight, and we spent a lot of time talking about the fight. Talk to us about some other things that the Lord is going to speak to us regarding between the pages of your book. Why should we read No Longer a Victim? Why should we read No Longer a Victim?
A lot of what's in the book, again, talks about me fighting for Dana and in various forms. And one thing in particular with the book that's very different, it's not your average this is my testimony book. You know, it does come in plain English. And, no, I don't quote a lot of scripture. I talk about my faith in God and how God kept me all this time. But I don't quote a lot of scripture only because that's not how the Lord gave it to me. He wanted me to be able to reach everybody without people saying, oh, this is another Bible toter. So when you read it, you're going to find all that, but you will find God in there. The other part about the book is that it's set up to go, you don't have chapter pages, I don't have a table of contents. The book is set up to take you from where my life was on that day all the way back to when I was 3 years old.
Wow.
And I felt like, okay, I'm just writing this in bits and pieces, and I just felt like the Lord is going to have me push it, you know, back to a normal book, you know, from chronological, from start to present, and that's not how it was supposed to go. And because people that just meet you now, they just know you now. They don't know you then. So to be able to take somebody from that day back to August and then back to January and then 2 years ago and then 5 years before that, then they can piece together your life. And that's what God had me do. And it's funny because each chapter per se says, well, this is what happened before that. That's the title of each.
Wow.
And then the next one says, well, this is what happened before that. And, you know, there's a family I talk about who I'm still close to now. in the book, and I call them the ram in the bush. And I say to the readers, I can't tell you about this ram just yet. I can't tell you how they helped me. I have to tell you how I got there. And just to give you a piece about that is I dated this lady's son around the same time that I was expecting my daughter. And we didn't last long, which wasn't a surprise to me because none of the relationships did. And when our relationship broke down, I figured I'd just walk away from the family. We weren't married to each other. There was nothing. And his mother would not let me just simply walk away. And it wasn't that she wanted us to be together. She just felt we were family. There was nothing. I could not take basically her quote-unquote grandbaby from her, and she was not going to allow me not to be in their life. So from that point on, long story short, I had another child. I had another child. I got married. She helped me with my wedding. I did not marry her son.
Wow.
She helped me with my wedding. She's basically been a godparent to me. And this ram in the bush where this family, not just her, but this entire family, they were my sisters, they were my cousins, they were we went to church together, we barbecued, all that stuff. My daughter went to their family reunions in Las Vegas, those kind of things. This ram in the bush, this family who had no blood connection to me became my helpers in so many different ways. And that's kind of what the book pinpoints or tiptoes on, because my problem with where I am now, especially in building my ministry, the Fan for You Breakthrough Ministry, is that we all depend on family so much, and we put so much in family that did you know that your quote-unquote ram in the bush may not even be your family? It might not be your mother or your father or your cousin or anybody related to you, because they might be the ones that the devil sets up to hurt you. Why? Because you love them and they mean so much to you. And I had to put that in my book because there's some things in there about my family that they're still blinded about. How I had to I had to take my daughter, who was three, and my middle child, my oldest son, who was only maybe 5 or 6 months, and walked them to school in a single stroller covered with a plastic garbage bag in the rain. Why did I have to do that when I could have got on the bus? I didn't live in the country, because getting on a bus with a stroller, 2 book bags, because I was in school, my daughter was in school, and a diaper bag and a lunch bag, and to ride the bus, basically walk to the bus and get off, drop. Why did I have to do that? When I asked a family member to take my daughter, so that I can easily get on this bus with my son. If you take my daughter and drop her off, I really appreciate that. All of them were going to the same school.
Wow.
All I said was, take one. Can you take one? I'll deal with getting on this bus. But if you could take her and her book bag, I can get on the bus to stroller this one baby, and I take him on to daycare, because he was going to daycare at the school, but why, just help me out a little bit. And no one would do that.
Wow.
Why, when I needed to go wash clothes, no one would do that.
See,
the book said talks about stuff that somebody, they don't want to be embarrassed about because of their family. Well, I had a mother who would help me, but then rub it in my face later.
Wow.
When I helped you. Well, mother, I'm your only child. Your only child. There's a lot in the book that pinpoints on somebody's life. There's a stripper out there who don't want to strip no more, who got a mind, but scared to leave the money out there. Leave it.
Wow.
So it wasn't just, like I said in the beginning, it wasn't just a domestic violence. It wasn't just, just being angry and swinging on folks. That's the gist, but not the whole conversation, because there's a whole lot more there. When you have anger all around you, it's hard to remember what Corinthians says about love, because you don't even know what that is.
Wow.
You're right.
Wow.
I have to say to you, Mother, I appreciate what you said about Pastor Rebecca being my spiritual mom, because she is right. Interrupt. Say what you have to say. Do what you have to do, because if it wasn't for Pastor Rebecca a whole long time ago, I don't know who I'd have been able to talk to when my daughter was going crazy.
Yes,
when I was pulling my hair out. When my marriage was just getting started and I still didn't know what to do. You're talking about years ago and still had to get to the point of December 27, 2010 to write a book to be able to say, I'm done.
Yes, yes.
See, that's the other ram in the bush. That's the whole point of no longer a victim, because when you think about your life and the people that you really think will support you, they're not going to.
No, no, no.
Wow.
You're right.
Me and Pastor Becca haven't even met face to face, but she has been more of a spiritual parent to me than the people that God sent me under. And He has sent me under them so that they could teach me the right. He sent me under them so I could learn what not to do when He tells me to open my church.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. And that's why God connected us, you know, because God's plan for you is just so great. It's just so awesome. And God wants, I love this title, No Longer a Victim, because you know what, daughter? It's prophetic. You are no longer a victim. You know, all those people that hurt you in the past, including your own mother and your own family, guess what? God's got the final say about that. You know, and God allows it, you know, because there's greatness in you.
Yeah.
There's greatness in you. There is greatness in you. And God allows you to go through everything that you have gone through to get you to this point, to get you to this radio show on today, so that you can get your total, total breakthrough to the point where, you know what, you can say there is no going back. There is no looking
That's
back.
Right.
There's not no going back.
Amen.
It's in front of me. It awaits me. I am not hopeless. You know, I am not angry. I'm not an angry black woman. I'm not an angry preacher, because hurt people. And God says He's giving you total healing. God is giving you total healing, Dana. All of that
Praise
stuff
the
that
Lord.
Happened. But He had you write this book to totally expunge the record. The record has been cleared. Your record, your slate is clean.
Yeah.
And you are moving forward with a clean slate. And God is going to use you terrifically. You think God has used you already, but God's going to use you terrifically for His glory. And you know, the thing about it, I was going to ask you why no longer a victim, because when you were talking, I was like, God, why no longer a victim? And God said, that's it, because she is prophesying to herself and to the readers that she is, you first and foremost, are no longer a victim. And your readers, when they come through this book, they're coming out victorious, where they will be able to stand and say, I am no longer a victim. This book is anointed. It's prophetic. And God is going to use it to help so many people to get free, Dana. But God is saying to you today, daughter, you got to release that. You got to release it all. You got to. Listen. You have to release it all. You got to give all of that to God. You got to say, God, I totally forgive, and I will recall no more. You know, not for testimony's sake, because I still do my testimony, but you got to say, I'm not going to let the devil keep bombarding my head with who didn't support me and who wasn't there and what they didn't do. And when I do remember it, God, just take away the sting. Take away the sting, you know, don't let it hurt me, because God is getting ready to put you in front of people, and it's going to be pivotal. It's going to be pivotal for you to be totally, totally healed, you know, of all that pain, because it's a lot. You dealt with a lot, girl, and you still, listen, if it's too far to be told, you're still dealing with a lot. That's why God is bringing you out with this book, because your breakthrough is in your testimony and the blood of the Lamb, and God is getting the victory. So I just thank God for no longer a victim, and what He's doing, and what He's done here on this broadcast today, and what doing in your life, Dana. And listen, I don't know you. I don't know you face to face, but I know you. You know, I haven't had a chance to wrap my arms around you, but I pray for you. And I know you in the spirit, and I know what God is doing in your life. So forget about them and what they did. Yeah. Joseph said, well, the devil meant for harm. God turned that thing around for my good. So listen,
yeah,
we got two callers. They got their hands up. They want to talk to you.
Okay.
And I'm going to put these callers on the air. Area code 312, area code 312, you're on the air. Welcome to the Woman to Woman show.
Bless you, Pastor Rebecca.
God bless you, Erica. God bless you. Erica Anderson calling from Chicago. God bless you.
I am enjoying the show on today. It has truly been a blessing to me just listening, listening in and listening to you all go forth. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I don't even know where to begin, but most of the stuff that you said to Minister Dana just now, I was going to tell her, and I just, I can relate to you so much in so many areas of the things that you talked about, and about family and stuff being there, you know, not being there and not being supportive, and those who you expect to be there for you won't be there for you, and how you just continue to look for people to reach out to, but there's nobody there. But I praise God because even in the midst of everything, God says that he is the great I am, and he knows what we need at that time. And I thank
right.
God for Pastor Rebecca, because Pastor Rebecca, the Lord sent her to me as well I was at a desperate time in my life where I was at the point of my end, where I eventually would have committed suicide if God didn't do anything. And so because my mom wasn't there, you know, my mom was out doing her own thing and was on drugs and things like that, and my dad was never in my life, and I didn't have family that I could go to, and nobody really there to help me. I had people criticize me and put me down all the time, and even those who I went to talked about me, and, you know, just some of everything. But I am grateful for that because I'm still sitting here today, and I thank God because the title of no longer a victim, I praise God for giving that to you, for birthing that out of you, because I am no longer a victim of what used to be in my life. And sometimes God will deliver us through ourselves. God will deliver us through us, and he'll speak things, and we'll be talking to other people, or we'll be writing something or whatever, and he's ministering everything that he's saying through us. And so I just praise God for you, and I tell you to keep going forth, keep moving forth in God, and it doesn't matter what we did or did not have, because the places where people weren't there, the things that people didn't do, God will make up for all of it.
Yes, he will.
God will make up for everything that you've lost, everything that you've lacked, everything that wasn't, everything, you know, that you look for, everything that you long for, every hurt, every pain, every ache, every headache, every frustration, the anger, all of it. God will make up for all of it. And so I just praise God for you. I tell you to continue to stay strong, continue to look to God, continue to count on him, continue to stay in the presence of those who he has placed in your life, because you have everything you need.
Yes.
You have
Hallelujah.
Everything you need. And so I just bless God for you. I bless God for the title. Pastor Rebecca, I love you, and you know I love you with all my heart. I thank God for you every day, for you being a part of my life. I love this show. I love
thank
this show
God.
Because there's so many women that need help. And some people are afraid to open their mouths to say, I need help. And this show gives people the opportunity to open up, or if they don't say anything, to help deliver them from where they are.
Yes.
And so I thank God for the place that he has me, and to be able to have somewhere to come to, and to be able to have a pastor that I can talk to and share things with, and who can help me, and who can help walk me through it spiritually. And so I thank God for the mothers that's on this show, the pastors, and those who are willing to share their testimony, because you don't know who life you can change, who life you can touch, who you can prepare for whatever they're going through or going to go through or have been. And so I bless God for you. I praise God for you. And I thank God for the great things he's going to do in your life. And I just bless God.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Eric. That's my little niece, my spiritual niece. Pastor Larry is her dad, my brother, and she's my niece in the spirit. And I just thank God for Erica. I love you, Erica. Looking forward
I love
to
you
seeing
too.
Her soon. Amen. God bless you. I tell you, this phone line is lit up. I have two more calls, and we only have 15 minutes, so we're going to take another call. Stay with us, Erica. Area code 773, you're on the air. Welcome to the Women to Women Show. God bless you.
Well, praise the Lord, my friend. How are you?
Amen. God bless you. I just mentioned your name. God bless you, Pastor Larry.
God bless you so much. Let me say this, and I know since Erica's listening, I told her, that she ought to get her own show. I told her she gets it going, don't stop. I said get her own show, praise the Lord.
Amen. Listen. Phenomenal job. I tell you, teamwork makes the dream work, amen.
Yes, it does.
So I tell you,
yes, it does.
That young lady, the fruit is definitely there from your ministry, Pastor Larry, and I'm glad to be able to share in the labor with you in your vineyard with Erica.
So
she's a joy. She's a sheer joy.
Amen. She really is. She's a pleasure to have in the ministry. But, Pastor, I was calling to, as I was listening to Sister Dana, some things that you spoke to her were actually confirming in my spirit. Because one of the things that she needs to know that God, when God wants to do something with us, oftentimes greatness requires you to walk alone. And I think we have to really understand that when God is calling us to be great, we oftentimes are going to walk alone. And many times, if you read over in the book of John, when you read, I believe around either chapter 5 or chapter 6, the Bible says, because they didn't respect him there. And if you even flow over to John chapter number 7, his own brothers did not know who he was or believe who he was. And so oftentimes people in your own family will reject you and turn against you because of the call that God has called you to. And so you have to understand that when God has called you to
hey,
greatness.
Hold on a second, Pastor Larry. I don't know where the background noise. Who has background noise? I'll mute you if I need to. We're having some background noise. And,
Pastor Rebecca, and that's probably me. That's probably me. This is Dana. That's probably me because I'm headed to my destination. So I'm going to mute myself out. When you're ready for me to respond, I'll come back in.
Okay, I don't think you can mute yourself, can you? Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll mute my phone. I'll just mute myself.
Okay, Pastor Larry, go ahead.
Yeah, and oftentimes when God, God is taking us someplace, we have to understand that there are some facets about God, some things about God that God wants to reveal to us, and there's something that he allows us to go through so that we can understand and really know that part of him. And believe me, when God wants to prove himself to us, like Abraham, God will call us out from among our family. And sometimes we look at our family members to be there and bail us out. But when God wants to show us that really he's all that we really need, that means that God will allow our family and friends to turn against us to keep us looking to him. And another thing that I heard you tell her was that when God's going to use you, he needs to first make sure that you are totally, totally healed. And
mm-hmm.
I tell you, as she was speaking, I heard a lot of pain inside of her. And I said, God, even though she's written the book as a release, but from what I sensed in my spirit was that there needs to be a deeper release so that she can be free to minister to somebody else.
Yes.
Because it's hard to minister when there's not really a free spirit in me to help bring freedom to somebody else. And so she ought to just, I don't profess to be super spiritual or anything, believe me, but we ought to just kind of go before God and say, Father, if there's something in me that I have not yet released, then help me to totally let it go. Because it is hard to free someone else when I'm still bound. If you understand what I'm saying. And we need that in our lives in order to help free somebody else. Because as I heard someone else say, the title of the book, No More Victim, is an excellent title. because there are a lot of victims, but it's one thing to be free physically and still be bound mentally.
Yeah.
And so God wants to free us both physically and mentally and emotionally, because once we are free in all those areas, now I can use what I've been through as a testimony more than something I can just vent my anger on. Is it follow what I'm saying? Because then I can help you from a free perspective, spirit, soul, and body, as opposed to just being free to say what's going on, but I'm still harboring that anger and bitterness on the inside of me.
Yeah.
Because what I have really done was I have not yet pulled the reins from those who have hurt me. And the truth is, those who have hurt me are still in control because of the bitterness in me. And so my thing is, God, if you can free me from that, and Pastor, I tell you, you know when you're free, because like I've heard so many stories earlier, as I was working, I was listening on my cell phone, and I heard people talking about how they were hurting. But see, even in my childhood, there was so much pain and anger and bitterness. But see, when God freed me totally from that, I could help free somebody else based on a deliverance that I already walked through. And so I cease to be bound by what was, because I am walking now in a newfound freedom in my life. And when we talk about not being the victim, that means that I myself need to be free in every area, spirit, soul,
yeah,
body, and emotionally. Because then I can talk about it, and that incident does not have the same effect on me. I mean, is it making sense?
Yes.
Yes, and I want to give Dana. Dana, are you with me? I don't know if you had anything to say in response to what Pastor Larry was just saying.
Yes, Pastor Larry, I really, really appreciate you. And please, everyone, forgive me for the background noise. I have a bolathon I'm trying to get to, so let me say that first. Please forgive me. But Pastor Larry, really appreciate you and what you said. And my response is this: I am healed from trying to kill my husband. I'm just being real. I'm healed from that.
Okay.
But,
thank the Lord.
But I must say, you
thank
are
the
right.
Lord.
You're right about the hurt part. Right about the hurt part, because there's one area I know God is still working on me with, and that is with the fact that my mother is not there. And it's hard, and sometimes it's really hard to talk about, because I really didn't go in depth in that in the book either. But it's hard to go through a life that I'm going through, a life that you know God has called you to do something, and your mother is not there, your physical mother, not Pastor Rebecca, but my physical mother.
Right.
And you're right, I am still going through that pain, but God is working on me, because at this point in my life, I have, one, asked for forgiveness from my mother for anything that I didn't do that maybe she wanted me to do. And I have internally and individually, I have forgiven her for how she treated me my life. You know, in the book I say how she compared me to everyone that was perfect instead of just accepting me for who I was. And this is going all the way down to when I was a child. But
right.
I've forgiven her for that because, you know, all she knew was to have better, not so much to just accept. But I understand that. But even right now, we don't have a relationship. And I think before all is said and done, that we will have that relationship. And even if we only have that relationship for 2 days and then Jesus decides that he's coming back, then fine, we have that relationship for 2 days. But I really believe that God is going to allow that to happen so that both of us can see, you know, what he was doing in each other's lives. But you're so right. That pain is there. And it's, and I don't want people to think that, you know, just because I'm no longer a victim, I have been healed from everything. But I don't walk in a victim state. I don't walk in a victim mindset. I walk in, I have got to serve the Lord and what he has told me to do, and I have to move forward in that and stop acting like I'm so hurt about everything and start learning from my hurt.
Right.
Wow.
I appreciate you saying that.
Amen.
Wow.
So then, you know what? If Pastor will allow me to say this for a few seconds, with my dad, me and my father, we had the same kind of relationship that you and your mother seem to be having. And it was, I believe, 2 years before he died that God allowed us to really pull that thing together before he died. And I'm saying that to say this. If you want a relationship with your mom, initiate it. Because you could, don't wait until she comes around, because she might not come around. And so
I tried. Not to cut you off, Pastor Larry. I tried. You know, I said earlier, I think you probably heard, that I'll be 40 this year. My mother is exactly 20 years older than me. She's 60. She has bought a home. I don't have the address. She has changed her telephone number. I don't have that. The only thing I have is her work number, and I called and wished her a happy birthday, you know, opening the doors, because I have not talked to her since November. Her birthday was in June. I have not heard from her from that conversation.
Well, you know what? Let me say this. Send her some flowers, send some candy, and send her a letter, and really speak your heart in the letter. Because at some point there has to be a breaking, because here's what you don't want, and Pastor Rebecca, if I'm wrong, please correct me. Here's what you don't want. You don't want your mom to maybe transition, and then that issue in your life not being dealt with, because believe me, that will bother you more than anything else in the world, because
you're
it is hard to
right
to fix something once the person is
you
gone. And that was one of the things that I was so thankful to God about with my dad, was that we finally settled the issue. I think back then I may have been, maybe around 45. Around 30. And my dad told me, he said, son, what I want to do is try to start over. I said, Dad, I'm a grown man now. I have children. So we can't start over, but let's start from here. And God blessed that moment. And for 5 years I had him. I'm sorry, 2 years I had my dad. And we were able to talk, communicate.
Okay.
I could love on him. And the day he died, I was on the phone talking to him. And so you want to ask God to open up that door.
Yeah.
Because I promise you, that would be a bad feeling to have mom transition with things the way they are. And so initiate. Keep trying. Keep pushing. And listen, she may keep rejecting you. You keep pushing. You keep initiating. Because at some point, if you keep believing God and ask God to soften her heart, he will. I believe he will. And allow the Holy Spirit of God to soften her heart, to pull you all together. But again, listen, write her a personal letter, and you just speak to her from your heart and let her know how much you really want to have a relationship with her. And just let her know. In no uncertain terms, Mom, this is what I'm feeling. I need you. My child needs you. We need you. You are that missing piece in our life. Because no one can make us whole, but it's a bad feeling to want someone there in your life. Because, again, if you read over in John, the 7th chapter, where Jesus actually got angry because his brothers wanted him to go to Judah and just show off his powers. And Jesus got angry because they didn't see him as being the Son of God. And they disrespected him by trying to pull him to do something that he didn't want to do. And so God has called you to ministry, and God has allowed you to go through this hurt and this pain and this time of separation. But even through this, God can heal you and make you completely whole, give you back your relationship. Because here's the thing. You have a child, and your child is going to need you to be there the same way you need your mom. And if that's not fixed, believe me, hurting people hurt people, and they don't always mean to do it, but it happens. And so there has to be a healing there. And so I encourage you from Chicago, keep pushing, keep initiating, keep doing it. Now, with that may come more rejection, but keep pushing and keep initiating. Because at some point, Mom will see that, you know what, my child, I don't want to transition and leave my child here hurting before I leave this earth. And then it is then that God can get you all together. And I promise you, there is no greater freedom that you will experience than to have the love of a parent that at some point looks like they didn't want you, or, as I heard you say, they kept comparing you to somebody else. The truth is, parents for us have high expectations for us. And if they see somebody doing what they want us to do, they always put that person in front of us, which is a no-no. But again, you can only do what you know.
Amen. So, stay with us. Amen. Hold that thought. Amen. We're going to go off the air in a minute. I want to let everybody in the chat room know that you can keep listening by calling in 646-652-4832 as we close off the broadcast within the next 10 minutes. But you will lose the stream in about 1 minute. So I want to thank everybody in the chat room for coming to be with us and everybody that's streaming. Everybody on the phone lines, you will continue to be able to hear the broadcast. But the chat room, you're going to lose the stream. So I thank you for coming to the Women to Women show. I invite you to come back next week. Amen. At 1 o'clock, we'll be on the air between 1 and 3. And if you call in, you can continue to hear. So God bless you all in the chat room. Amen. And thank God for Pastor Larry. I didn't mean to come in on the middle of your thought, but I love what you're saying to Minister Dana Neal. And Dana, you know, the truth is the same testimony that my father, two years before he passed, we were able to resolve our issues, our relationship issues. He went through there all of my life. So many things happened in our relationship that I'm not going to share today for the sake of time. But in the end, God had allowed us to resolve those issues. Now, we didn't have a perfect relationship, but I didn't hate him anymore, you know, because I used to say I hated my father. So it was more for me. And what Pastor Larry's saying to you is more for you than for your mom, so that at least in your heart, you won't be saying, I hate her or I resent her for not being there. And all you can do is try. You know, as long as you're trying, then the healing is taking place. And even if she continues to be obstinate and reject you, then God is making you stronger, wiser, better, and even more forgiving. So every time she says no, just forgive. And keep pressing. Amen. God bless
right.
Pastor Larry.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted you to finish your statement. Then I'm going to let Dana is I'm going to let her close out with her final statement because she's at a bowl-a-thon. Dana, I'm going to let you go. I know you're at a bowl-a-thon. I know you. What time is your event?
It actually starts now.
Okay, Pastor Larry, I love what you said. I think Dana got it. So she has to go, and I want to just let her go ahead and close out. I want to ask her one last question, and then we're all going to close out. I want to give her the first opportunity to speak. I know Minister Valerie Allen was waiting. Ms. Valerie Allen was waiting.
Pastor Rebecca, let her go
ahead. Minister Valerie Allen, you're on the air.
Woo! Is all I can say today. My God, my God, my God. God bless you, Pastor Rebecca Simmons. God bless you, Pastor Sarton. God bless you, Mother Rosa. God bless you, Sister Erica. And God bless you, my beautiful sister, Minister Arthur Dana, Mrs. Neal. Oh, my God. To God be the glory for the awesome things that he has done on the show. You know, I didn't realize I had never raised my hand. I was so preoccupied with the chat room and on Facebook till it just dawned on me as the Holy Spirit reminded me. I never raised a hand to come in and just give a shout-out to you there, Sister Dana Neal. God bless you. I am so inspired by the show today, and I just want to thank Jesus that I am no longer a victim. You know, we all have been, you know, with domestic violence in our life, and I was going to try to share my story, but now we're out of time. But I'm telling you, God is so awesome, and it's so on time what Mother Rosa said when she came in. You know, that's what the Bible said. The elders, women, have to teach the young women. That's what the Bible says. And Pastor Rebecca, you was right on point and target that when you cut in to give the word back, you know, because I was there myself on both sides of the fence. And what Pastor Larry's saying is so true. That's when you can tell, and like other people know, when you're free, when you can talk about it and the emotions doesn't rise up. It is so true in that respect. But I thank God that I have experienced both sides of the fence, prior to salvation and after salvation. Because before I saved, the first time I got hit, I'm telling you, I didn't hesitate to pick up an iron, which was the closest thing to me, and went up that brother's head. Next thing I know, we saw blood. Listen, it's the truth. But let me tell you what happened after salvation with my oldest son, which I was married to his father. But however, in adulterous state affair, he left me for another woman. Now, right, not even a month after the birth of our first son, my son's father moved in with the other woman. Now, mind you, I had no idea. Now, I'm saved now. I had no idea where they live, but all I know is I got into my car just to confirm what was going on behind the scenes, got into my car, drove down the turnpike of New Jersey, and here I am ending up at their front door. Lo and behold, I knock on the door. Who answers the door? Nothing but the other woman. You got to know everything in me was raging. I'm telling you, if I could have just bust some windows, if I had it, like you were saying, with the knife, all these things. But God, but the Holy Spirit of God, because now I'm saved. Yeah. The Holy Spirit of God didn't let me say a word and raise my hand against neither one of them. She went back in, and all I could simply say was, let me speak to the, you know, I'm not going to mention the name, to my son's father. And then she said, hold on. And, you know, I'm raging, and my flesh is raging. I'm hot. And he comes to the door, because she's in my, not only is she answering the door, but she's in this very, you know, sexy gown and carrying on. And we're still married. With him and I still married. So he comes to the door, and he asks me in shock, what are you doing here? I'm like, the question of the day is, what are you doing here? But you know, I'm telling you, nobody but God. But did it hurt? Absolutely. I had just recently shared this story with my hairstylist and a few women that was in the salon that day, because a question was raised up, what caused women to go off in that way, because they didn't understand. And that's when I broke out with my testimony. I said, you know what, let me be open and candid with you women. I know how it can happen. I know what it means. They said, like a woman with a fiery storm. And then I told my story, and they was like, wow, Valerie. I said, so you know, but unless you have God in your life, unless you have the Holy Spirit of God, the dunamis power of God, you will not be able to withstand that type of pressure. And so when it was all said and done, I walked away, and I was like, I just wanted to know. And I would just simply ask him, I said, why you just didn't tell me? I just wanted to know. Because the question that the hairstylist asked was like, Valerie, didn't you see this coming? Absolutely not. And call it denial, whatever have you. But no one sees that sort of thing coming and happening. But when it does, and when you're confronted with it, as a believer of Christ, as you were saying on Pastor Rebecca, it is a choice. But I'm telling you, I thank God for the Holy Spirit of God. All I could do was walk away, had our new baby boy right in the back seat. Well, by the time I got back, I'm telling you, to the parking lot, I told you every thought imaginable was like, okay, cut the tires, bust out the windows, I mean, scratch the car. All these raging thoughts were going through my mind. But all I did was get in back in my car, and I can't even tell you how I got home. You got to know how messed up I was. But only God. I mean, I flew back up to, you would have thought I was on a launch pad the way I came back up to New Jersey, Turnpike. And I just went before the Lord. I cried and I cried and I cried. And it was there afterwards when the Holy Spirit said this to me as a woman. If I went out to make any attempt to make his life miserable, bounce it back at me. Whoever life is going to be miserable. And I said, no, God, I just still going to walk in peace and love. And that's the bottom line right there. So God bless you, my sister Dana Nay. I'm telling you, I'm going to get that book too one day too to read it. That's an awesome title right there. And I thank God I am no longer a victim. To God be the glory for the great thing he had done. Sister Erica, you saw on target. Sister Neil, you saw on target with that with regard to Pastor Rebecca. I thank God that God has connected me with her. I thank God I'm here in New Jersey. I do have an edge up on you. I have seen her. I have physically embraced her and absolutely in her ministry now. And I tell you, God is such a good God to be able to walk close to the woman of God who walks with God and who has a compassion, a sincere compassion for the women of God, which has drawn me near to her. So it's such an awesome opportunity, as both of you ladies were saying, how God has blessed her in your life. Well, he certainly has blessed me with her as well, and so many other women who just, I'm sure, just as speechless as we are today. And Mother Rosa, God bless you. I'm telling you, God has used you mighty on today to come forth with the word of God. And as always, Pastor Sergeant, it's always a pleasure to share the mic with you. My God. Powerful man of God. So God bless you, ladies. Thank you so much for allowing me to just give a few remarks. Pastor Rebecca, just something else to just add to the prayer on next week. Trust you me, I will be going forth in prayer with domestic violence. Just more in Jesus' name.
Stay with us.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hold that thought. Just hold that thought. Because
yes.
I want to give, like I said, Minister Dana is at another function. I don't want to teach her. So I want her, you to be able to address her and her to be able to address you as she is closing out. So, Minister Dana, I'm going to give you a chance to respond to Minister Valerie Allen. Also, I want you to just give your final remarks on what would you say, you know, to women who are not the victims, but women who find it, that they might have a tendency to strike out or to lash out. Give us your closing remarks on that as you go off the air.
Okay. God bless you, Minister Valerie. That is so. That's a testimony in itself. Thank God. You know, you too had the spirit within you to be able to share that, because there's a lot of women out there that won't share nothing because they feel foolish. They feel ashamed, or they feel like they weren't strong enough to get through this, or they weren't enough for the men in their lives to have this not happen to them, but. You know, truth be told, it happens, and it happens in saved households as well as unsaved households.
Amen.
So that is even a nutshell, and I really appreciate you sharing. And in domestic abuse, people have to understand that sometimes it's emotional. It don't always have to be physical. It's emotional. Adultery is a sin. We know that, but it's also a piece of emotional abuse, depending on who the person is, whether it's the husband or whether it's the wife. It's emotional abuse.
Yes. Yes.
And it's bad on my life, because some of us may not know how to get through that, but God. And that's the part I want to get to, answering the question about, you know, how, if you're not the victim, but you might be the victimizer, okay?
Mm.
You have to know that there's a way out. If you victimized somebody yesterday and God woke you up today, He's given you an opportunity, one, to ask for forgiveness and repent. And
mm-hmm.
to do differently today than you did yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You, somewhere in your life, you don't even have to recognize that you have a relationship with God, or you don't have to have a relationship with God, but you have to recognize that He's real and be able to do that much. If you can do that much, you can make one step closer to Him so that He can help you. And when you want to lash out, don't try not to. And that's a lot.
Yeah.
When you tell somebody to try not to fight, that's a lot. Because you could tell me in my face, all I see is red at the time. Okay, just try not to do it. I can't try. That was the first thing in my head. I can't try. I just want to. And that was the one thing I wrote in my book. If I could just beat him today, if I try to kill him, maybe he'll understand how much I care. Because my mindset was, I felt like, what? Wait.
We're
gonna pray for Minister Dana.
But that
we're gonna pray.
Yeah,
that's not me. That's all I'm gonna say.
Go ahead, Dana. Come on, behave yourself.
Because listen. That was where my mind was. That was where my
right.
And you know.
Yes.
And, yeah, it's funny because now we know who I am now, okay?
Yeah,
and it's funny because, but at the time, you know, it's like I said, I had to fight for me my whole life. I had to fight for love from my mother, and
mm-hmm.
I'm still fighting. I had
mm-hmm.
to fight for love from various people. You know, in different forms I had to fight. And then as Pastor Larry said earlier, you have to love yourself enough
mm-hmm.
for something. You know, I'm fighting Dana.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm trying to love me. And
this is
all I could see at the time, is that maybe if I just keep fighting, he'll know I care.
Mm.
You know, he'll know I care. Well, he wasn't trying to even see I cared, and cared less if I cared by that time. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it had to come to a different perspective. I really had to keep my life back right with God. Because, and yes, I wasn't a backslidden state, because I got saved back in 1995. I didn't meet this man until 1996. We didn't even have a real relationship until 1999. Come on now.
Hmm.
Wow.
So,
my Lord.
The reality of is, when I first got saved, I had a conversation with the Lord that nobody should ever have. And I didn't realize that until about 5 years ago, but I tried to say, well, Lord, this is what I'm going to give up. Can you deal with the rest?
Hmm.
No. You give up. The conversation should have been, you give up everything that is not of me. And that's what you're going to do. Apply to have a conversation. But
amen.
I didn't have to teach
me that either. So in a nutshell, what it comes down to is that, you know, we as saints, because we know this is going on around us, no matter where we are. And Pastor Larry, I'm only across the state line from you. I'm right in Wisconsin.
Come on, man.
I'm waving at you right now.
All right.
because of where we are, we know this goes on. We should be trying to reach out to folks. You know, we talk about Jesus walked. He did not have a church building. He was walking the roads, the dirt roads. We need to be out there
talking
to some of these people and saying, come on now, I know what you're going through. And we need to start being real. You know, I get tired of the Jehovah's Witnesses coming to my house.
Mm.
Let me tell you how they do. You know, they get out there and they do it. One thing I would like for us to do, let's get out there with our t-shoes and stuff on. Stop putting
that's
on
it.
Your long skirts and stuff and suits and everything and all them big hats and go and talk to these people where they are. Because if we
right.
can do that much, we can get somebody to say, you know what, I'm hurting.
Amen.
I'm hurting. Let me tell you how bad I'm hurting. I just sold all my food stamps for some crack.
Mm.
You know, those are the people we need to be talking to, people like
Absolutely.
Me. You know, because somebody wants to tell their story because they need a release, not because they want to tell all their business.
No, I like that.
And that was the other thing with my book. It wasn't for me to tell all my business. It was to release my story, to help somebody
Absolutely.
Else.
Yes.
And as Pastor Larry said, and Pastor Rebecca said, get through this pain because God kept me for a reason. He didn't have to show me that I was going to be killed at that bus stop, at that payphone.
Mm.
He didn't have to show me that. He could have just took my life.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And that's the part about this. That's the part about no longer being a victim is the fact that I put myself in that place. God kept me all this time. He's kept me so that I'd be able to share with somebody and help somebody. And Pastor Larry's right to be able to help heal somebody else. That's what this is for. This is not about Dana telling all her business. This is about Dana moving forward. And one thing about this book is that at the end, it tells you that this is not the end. Because
Amen.
You only get a tip of the iceberg. The next few books are actually going to be self-help books that are going to go in-depth with each part that I've pointed out in this book. But these are self-help books. There's going to be lessons to be taught. There's going to be to be helped. We're going to have some of those all-night sessions, you know, sheets and blankets. Shut in.
Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
All right now.
Now we're talking about
Amen.
Being a victor. The victory. Amen.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
That's
Amen.
How I am a victor. I'm not a victim. I am a victor.
That's right. Walking in total
Amen.
Victory right there.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Well, praise
and
the Lord.
Glory
else.
To God. Glory to God.
And, you know, I have to tell people that, you know, I have a friend who I try to help all the time. And, matter of fact, she's my son's stepmother. And I tell her, you know, I try to help her in her marriage. And it's funny that God put her in my life for me to help her in her marriage with my son's father. I don't mind that. I don't even look at it like that. I look at it that this is another sister that needs help in her marriage. And I'm helping her with the word of God. When I look at what she says, sometimes it says, you know what, you need to take what you have from God and share that with somebody else. Because it's not just about your family. Don't care about just what's going on in your household. There's somebody else who needs help in theirs. Take what you got. Take what you got and help somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you might have a little bit of trouble, you got to be able to help somebody else. And I think that's what a lot of people don't understand, especially all these little cliques in the church. You have to be able to take what you have and help somebody else. Can you care enough about somebody else to put you aside?
Yes. Well, that's what Jesus said. He didn't come for those who didn't need a physician. He came for those who were sick. That's what he said
that's
to
it.
His disciples, you know?
That's it right there.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. And I praise God for you, Pastor Rebecca. Thank you so much, Mother, for having me
Amen.
On the program and being
Amen.
Able to share. Because again, it's not about me. It's about God in me and what He has done and where He has taken me and where He's taken me from this point forward. I knew that something was going to happen on this call today because there was a challenge. There was a challenge 20 minutes before the call. There
My
was
Lord.
A challenge. And I said, you know
My
what?
God.
You're stopping me from talking on this phone. I'm going to get on here
and
I'm pulling it together and we're going to go. I'm not, and I'm getting my mind right. So it was a challenge. But I knew something
yeah,
was coming.
Yeah, I picked that up.
It was just right
I picked
there.
That up when you came on, and I knew that you had gone through something to get here. You know, I picked that up in the spirit because, you know, it's that's That's what it's all been about, Dana. It's been about, the challenge has been about your destiny. It's been about what God has called to you, but God has said it, and he shall bring it to pass. And God is, even now, all of this, when we look at, when you look back at this call 5 years ago, you're going to see that it was all part of God's divine plan for you to write that book and have it come out when it came out, for me to have you come on the show today, for Pastor Larry and Mother Rosa and Minister Valerie and Pastor Anthony and everybody to be here for us to touch and agree that we're no longer a victim.
Amen.
And we are no longer victims because we all have been there. We know what it feels like to be victims.
Amen.
So God surrounds you with people. And we all have the victory. And I just thank God for the victory today. I thank God for you coming, taking time out to be with us. I want you to come back because obviously we haven't finished. It's just the beginning, like you said. So I'm going to invite you to come back so we can do No Longer Victim Part 2.
Amen.
I want to read the book first, and then we're going to really get into the call. We're dropping calls, but I want you to know that we're talking with Dana Neal. For those of you who are listening to the archive, Minister Dana Neal, Dana Marie, she's the author of No Longer a Victim, which you can pick up at Amazon.com, and it's only $12 today. So try to catch it at $12. Only $20, and also you can get it for Kindle for $9.99. Also, you can get it at BarnesandNobleBN.com. So go and get that book, No Longer a Victim. Read the book and prepare yourself for part two, No Longer a Victim Part 2. We will be coming back, and we will be discussing Dana Neal's book, Dana Marie's book, and we will also be discussing some other hot topics that we haven't even touched today. So Dana, God bless you. You can go to her website, danamarie.info, to find out more about her. And you can also pick her up on Facebook, facebook.com, I believe it's / Dana Marie.
It's Mrs.
CEO.
Mrs. D. Neal.
Mrs. D. Neal. Yes, I see it. Facebook.com/Mrs. D. Neal. And you can also find her in the Women to Women Empowerment Group on Facebook. She gives us mystery, on a daily basis. It's just powerful what God is doing through this woman. So you just keep on keeping on, knowing that God's plan shall come to fruition, fully manifesting your life. And thank you again for being with us today.
Yes, amen. Thank you.
And I love you.
Rebecca.
And let me say this. I love you, and I'm proud of you. And just so looking forward. Erica's coming to New Jersey in October. You should come.
Amen.
In October, we'll make it a whole family reunion.
I know that's right.
During the Women's Conference in October. So
Amen.
Amen.
I can't come, Pastor. I said, I can't come. You were specifically said women's conference, something like that. I mean, I can't come.
We need to have you come preach at the women's conference. You know, I haven't slated my speakers yet. I might have to bring you in to preach.
Amen. Pastor Sawson always brings the balance. He always brings the balance.
Oh, my Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Y'all better invite me to something.
You do. You always bring the balance. You know, you tip the scale. You always bring the balance here. Well, at least that's my take on it. At least that's my take on it.
All right,
let me tell you, I went to Chicago. Pastor Larry, his beautiful wife, Lady Carol, invited me to their women's conference a couple of years ago. They flew me into Chicago, and I preached there. But let me tell you what was even more of a blessing than me, and that's where I met Erica. But what was more even as much of a blessing is that Pastor Larry preached. He preached at that women's conference. He stood flat-footed, and I was just,
wow.
I was sad. I was just so, the word. My God, and I turned him on. He's on Moments in the Word right here on Blog Talk Radio on Wednesdays at 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, Moments in the Word, and that's blogtalkradio.com/ Pastor-Larry-Sartin, S-A-R-T-I-N. So, I mean, you really, and they're on Ustream also, but this man is a preacher. Amen.
Yes, he is.
So,
awesome,
I just thank God for
him. Yes, he is.
So, we're going to pray on it. I only have a couple of months. I don't have the budget this year. I'm trying to get you here, Pastor Larry.
You tell me to come. I'll be my own way. I'll come for you.
Amen.
Oh, hey, amen. Wait a minute. We're being recorded. So
all
might,
right.
My word is good.
Amen.
Amen.
If they come, I'll be on the next plane out.
All right.
Amen.
You.
Amen. Well, you heard that, Pastor Anthony. Okay, we got you then. Pastor Larry is coming to New Jersey. Wow.
All right.
Praise the Lord. We're excited. Well, we're going to get you here. Then we're going to set the date. I'm serious about that. I'm almost serious about that women's conference. I just don't know if New Jersey is ready for a man and a women's conference.
Oh, they ready. They ready.
Oh,
they ready. Come on, get ready. Get ready.
Oh,
he's on the way.
Amen. But we know he has no problem with stepping up into a room full of women.
Not at all.
I really don't.
Not at all. He knows who he is. See, he walks like Jesus. He knows who he is. He's on a mission.
Amen.
Don't stop it.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to see about it.
Yes,
I don't know. I think we're going to preserve that and have him come for a revival or something. I really want to just give New Jersey men and women an opportunity to hear the ministry of Pastor Larry Sartin.
Yes,
so we're going to have you come. Within the next 6 months, like you said, we're going to get you here. Like you said, you'll pay your own way. Prayerfully, we'll be able to meet you somewhere in there. But we definitely, we're going to keep you to your word. Pastor
All right.
Larry.
Amen.
Good enough.
Lord, keep you to the third. Within the next 6 months, 6 months will not pass by before you're stepping off the plane and oh, well, however you're going to get here into New Jersey.
Looking forward to it, Pastor.
Amen.
Thank you. I'm so blessed by that. So we're off the air. Our guest has signed off. She's at a bowl-a-thon. And again, this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons. And I just want to close out. I have Erica Anderson still here. Quite a few people are still here. Some of you haven't. A couple of people haven't raised their hands to speak, but they're here. I see my mother. God bless you. Hi, Mom.
Amen.
Hi, Mom. I miss you. God bless you. Thank God for my mother. She's in Florida. I'm in New Jersey, so I'll be going to Florida this year. But we're going to have Erica, Minister Allen, Pastor Larry. We're going to have you three. Very seriously, we've been talking about domestic abuse today, and we have had an opportunity to receive ministry and also to minister to our sister, Minister Dana Neal. So I thank God for all of you calling in and even being able to speak into her life. You know, yeah, she pours out. It was just such a blessing to have somebody pour back in.
Amen.
So I thank you all for that. I really thank you all for that. But I want you just to take a couple of minutes. I'll try to do 2 minutes max and just speak into the life of somebody who's being victimized on today that's listening to this, that clicked on this and is listening to this archive. What would you say to that woman, Erica, who's being victimized on today or who doesn't know who she is and doesn't love herself, maybe looking for love in all the wrong places? What would you say to that person on today?
Pastor Rebecca, what I would say is this. First, we have to stop and take a look at ourselves. Sometimes we get so caught up in looking from affirmation from other people because we don't truly value who we are as a person. And sometimes we make so many different mistakes in looking and depending on somebody else to validate us. We have to stop to take the time to learn who we are as a person. We have to take the time to learn who we are and to love ourselves. And the only way you can truly find out who you really are is to spend time with God and to spend time in His presence so that He can teach you and He can show you who you are. And so He can show you how to better go through life and how to better appreciate who you are so that you don't find yourself in situations that you don't have to be in. And even in getting in relationships that you shouldn't be in, or with people, or yoked up with people that you shouldn't be with, because the Bible tells us don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. But how can I tell you how to truly love somebody, or how to find love, if I don't know what love is, or if I don't love myself? And so I have to first know who I am and love who I am and appreciate who I am as a person to be able to tell somebody else how to love them and appreciate them, and how to watch out for mistakes, things like that. And, I mean, we just have to stop. We have to take a second and just listen that God is trying to show us and trying to tell us. We have to learn just, again, how valuable we are to us. And I think if we spend more time in God's presence and with him and learning who we are through him, then we will be more careful about what we do and how we do it.
Amen. 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 That's powerful, Erica. Thank you so much. Pastor Larry?
Yes, ma'am. I'm still here.
What can we say to somebody who's listening who might be in an abusive situation on today?
Well, Pastor, two things I would like to say in 2 minutes. Number one, if you're in something abusive, love yourself enough to get out. Just get out.
Say that again, sir.
I said to love yourself enough to get out, because it is not the will of God that we suffer abuse, you know, like that at someone's hands. But one thing, I do want to give a scripture out of 1 Corinthians chapter number 10.
Amen.
I think around verse 13 it says, "There has no temptation taken you such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer us to be tempted above that which we are able to bear, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that we can bear it." And so simply saying this, that whatever happens in our lives, number one, understand that it had to come past God first.
Wow.
And so whatever we go through,
Amen.
God had to give the okay. And we have to understand that God had to give the okay before the devil brought it in our lives. And if God would give the okay, it's because God knew that we can handle it. Now it's up to us to make a decision to go through it and allow God. If God's trying to get something out of us, then let God work his will to do out of us so that we don't have to see it again. Now, if it's not the will of God, then walk in our authority and bind the devil's plan in our lives. And so we have to find out where we are, what season we in, and is this God's will for us to go through this so that he can work something out of us, or is this a direct attack from the enemy? Either way I go, it still has to go past God first, because it cannot happen unless God says yes to it. And so if God says yes, it's because he knew that we could deal, that we could handle it, and he's given us the power to deal with it, to either rebuke it and get rid of it, or to get through it so that we can help go reach back and bring somebody else out.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, wow. That's the word right there. I mean, powerful, powerful, both of what you just said, you and Erica. Love yourself enough
Pastor
to get out.
Can you still hear me?
Yes. Is that
okay.
Minister
yes,
Valerie
I'm sorry.
Allen?
Yes, I'm still yet a mother. I have to tend to my child really very quickly. I apologize.
Amen. Well, you're up. I just want you to spend a couple of minutes, 2 minutes, talking to our listeners. Somebody tuned in to listen to the archive, and they're bound. They're caught up in an abusive situation. What would you say to them?
Amen. Praise God. Well, two things come to mind, and back up with you stated earlier with regard to anger, how the Bible tells us that a soft anger can turn away wrath. And from a woman's point of view and perspective, I'm learning that over time, that when I back down, when I speak in a quiet tone, still voice, God, and I humble myself under God, I see that other people, can, back up. And the other thing is this, from John 10:10, the Word of God tells us that thieves cometh not but for to steal. That's what the thief come for. That's what the devil has come for. He came but for to steal and kill and destroy. And he can do that, of course, in ways and means by domestic violence. We call it domestic abuse, verbal and or physical abuse in that regard, you know, driving force through a spirit of anger. But understand that even when that may have happened or have happened to you, as it has with myself and so many others here on the line today, Jesus said that he has come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Jesus has come that we may have life in spite of a trying, you know, time or a circumstance or situation when it comes to domestic violence or domestic abuse. And even when you yourself have rose up in the spirit of anger, Jesus has come that you can live a more abundant life in that way, which brings me to mind to just a brief testament of my sister-in-law. You know, as we often have spoken earlier here today, how we've grown up in household with anger. Well, you know, train a child up in the way they should go. If we haven't known anything else, that's what happens when we have grown up. So once my brother got married, you know, to his wife, he still was somewhat angry. And when I was around him, I witnessed that. And each time when my brother rose up in the spirit of anger, and I understood, of course, because we grew up in the same household, it's not acceptable, and we are walking in the newness of life. However, it had happened. But I noticed something my sister-in-law did. She bowed down. I mean, not physically, but she backed it up. She didn't even respond. I watched her do that over and over again and wonder how in the world was this woman able to humble herself. This is before I was a new babe in Christ, so I hadn't yet grown into the full knowledge. But nonetheless, I asked her one day, took her to the side and asked her, and she said, no. She said, and with all due respect, my brother doesn't have the victory. She said, God does. She said, I just pray. She said, I just simply quiet up, and that's what I would witness her do. She would just silence. He would, if you will, going off, as we often say, and she wouldn't say a word. I mean, wouldn't say a word. And, you know, the natural mind would tell you, well, this woman is a wimp, is a punk, or, you know, something like that. But no, this woman was a wise woman of God, and she prayed. And I'm telling you, within the next 5 minutes, I will witness my brother come right back around and say, I'm sorry, baby, now let's move forward. What is it that you were asking me? And it was like her God had just granted her prayer of petition, you know, and that thing or whatever have you. But that's what comes to mind for me, is that it is true. When we're angry, as the Bible said, be angry but sin not, we can choose not to retaliate back in the spirit of anger. We can do what the Word of God said and respond back in our daily walks of life, you know, in a with a soft answer when those, you know, just want to just, you know, be angry and go. Because when you look at them, you can clearly see the spirit. Look at the spirit behind it. Well, they're angry too. So here we have another hurt person trying to hurt me or hurt you. So you just know that God has come. You know what I'm saying? You just know that God, that's the devil. That's his job. That's what he came to do. He came to steal the joy. He came to steal the peace. He came to just totally destroy your life and make havoc of it. But those of us know who are now in Christ Jesus, we have come to understand and welcome you to know that Jesus lives and that he came and that you will have a more abundant living life without the, you know, anger free, if you will, and also without domestic violence and abuse. God is. And that's what I have to say today. God is. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. And that's it. You know, basically what we're saying to you today, if you're in an abusive situation, you know, and you're finding yourself at the end of somebody's fist or feet, or somebody's abusing you physically, some people will even say emotionally, but I would say if your life is in danger, if your life is in danger, if somebody is hitting you, if someone is, they'll go, if they hit you once, they'll hit you again.
Yes.
And if they hit you, when they give you a black eye, they'll break your leg.
Yes.
And if they break your leg, they'll throw you down the stairs. If they throw you down the stairs, they'll shoot you.
Yes.
You know,
right.
Because we have heard even our guest earlier in the first caller, Kalita, that called and said she stabbed her husband.
Yes,
and we have heard of people killing their kids or killing their spouses because they just snap. So if you're in a relationship with someone who just snaps, I agree with Pastor Larry, and I agree with Erica, and I agree with Minister Allen, and I agree enough to say, love yourself. That's what Erica said, love yourself. Pastor Larry said, love yourself enough to get out.
Amen.
And Minister Valerie Allen said, pray and know that God is. Love yourself enough to get out and pray from a distance. If this person is your husband, pray from a distance. If this person is your wife, pray from a distance and know that God is able, but get yourself to a safe place. I used to be like Stan, the caller earlier, who said, that's a deal breaker. It's a deal breaker. I'm out of here. But I say now, you may not necessarily have to divorce that person if you're married to them, but get yourself and get your kids to a safe place. And if you're not married, break it off. And you don't even want to marry that person. You know, if they already abusive and they already beating on you, then you need to break up with that person. Call 1-800-ABUSE, the abuse hotline. Go on the internet and find out some numbers that are local for you. Call somebody and get some help. Call 911 when a person is not around, your life is being threatened, and find out a way that they can get you safely out of that situation. Some people have even had to change their identity. Abuse is serious. Physical abuse is serious. We have laughed, we've joked, we've quoted scripture, we preach, but we're here to say that God, in Jeremiah 29:11, says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. God's plan is not for you to be somebody's punching bag. So really what we're saying to you today, and I believe what our guests wanted to say today, is that Nobody has to suffer through abuse. And even her being an abuser that's been delivered, she's saying, thank God for deliverance, because I didn't want to be that person. She said, I was so mad when I stooped to that level. So pray. If you're an abuser, pray. Ask God to deliver you and just stop it. Yeah. You know, get some help. Get some counseling. So, you know, it's been we extended our time. It's been a very serious 2.5 hours. We want you to read the book, No Longer a Victim, because I believe you're going to get something out of that book. To get a copy of No Longer a Victim and read it. Just read it. See what the Lord would say to you. Amen. And if you need any counseling, call myself. 862-220-2500. Hit me up on Facebook, facebook.com/PastorRebeccaSimmons. Hit up Pastor Larry on Facebook, Pastor Larry Sargent, Minister Valerie Allen. She prays, and we're going to talk about her prayer. She prays every day, Monday through Friday, at 12 o'clock noon, Eastern Standard Time, on Power Praise Radio. Minister Valerie Allen, give us that information so that somebody can know where to come for prayer.
Amen. Well, praise God. Thank God that Pastor Jermont Flagg is the visionary of Power Praise Radio in general. And so what was on his heart is led by God was, of course, it was to begin a noonday prayer, which is 12 p.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday. And I thank God, again, for Pastor Rebecca's spirit, in which God had prophesied to her, to me, that God would begin to open up doors for me, you know, as her and I had become spiritually connected. Well, I would say not too long thereafter, God did just that. It was no more than maybe weeks or not even near a month, I received a posting from Lady Diana Washington Flagg, who is the wife, partner, and helped me to Pastor Jermont Flagg, who asked me, invite me to be one of the hosts for the Power Praise Noonday Prayer. Well, initially it took me back. I didn't answer right away, but I was just thanking God, you know, for the open door. That's what the word was that God had given Pastor Rebecca for me, that God was opening doors, of course. And then, of course, the answer is yes to God's will and his way. So it all came down, had the conference call, if you will, with Pastor Jermont, and it was just launched this past Wednesday. So what you can do at 12 noon exactly Eastern, so what happens there at 12 noon, you can find yourself, if you know, link with myself or directly to Power Praise Radio, which is streamed through Ustream. I'm going to give out the address here, so bear with me. It's www.ustream.tv/channel www.ustream.tv/power-praise-radio. So again, that's www.ustream.tv/channel/power-praise-radio. And you, that will link you right into the Power Praise Radio station, where you will be able to sign yourself in or just simply log in to listen or sign yourself up to be a member. And with that, if you, you know, of course, become a Facebook friend of Jermont Flagg, that's how he listed, then you'll be able to also be added into the fan page of Power Praise Radio Network, which is on Facebook. And then also, too, you're welcome to invite me in and request as a friend, and daily postings of Power Praise Radio will be on my profile there, where you're able to just click the link and just enter right on into the Power Praise. So that's what's happening there from Wednesday month, started last this Wednesday, as a matter of fact, and on the 3rd of August, and two successful days, and I would say three. Why I say not three exactly, because the enemy, he wanted to try to stop the prayer on yesterday. You know, it is true, as Pastor Rebecca wrote back to me saying, some warfare, because my power went out. Right in the prayer, the power went out. The power lost total connection, but God still is in the prayer, you know, still going forth. So we know that this has to be ordained of God. And so I come on air as introduced by Pastor Jermont Flagg. There's music that's played. It gets you, you know, helps you to usher you into the throne room of grace as we pray, and then we come in with prayer. So if you have any prayer requests, please feel free to send them to Pastor Jermont Flagg via Facebook or through the Ustream, the Power Praise Radio connection there, and on myself, Minister Valerie Allen, can hit us up on our inboxes or post it on our profile, and we do daily prayers and then go into a word of encouragement as the Lord leads. So far Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday has been, as the Lord has given me a word with regard to songs of deliverance, how we, and using my own personal testimony, how songs, the gospel songs, some of those, had a wonderful and powerful tune in my deliverance. So I can definitely speak on the area of deliverance, but there's more to come. So I thank God for the comments, you know, up to date, and I thank God so much for the support and also the blessing of my pastors, Pastor Rebecca Simmons and Pastor Anthony Simmons, allowing me to go forth, you know, to do the work of the Lord. So that's what's happening there. We're praying daily, 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, Power Praise Radio. So submit your prayers and let's just go up, because I'm telling you, we're tearing down some strongholds. Satan thought he had me on Friday. He ain't seen nothing when Monday comes, that come around. Listen, I got a big black eye coming in his way. So we are pulling down strongholds, and we're thanking God through prayer that we know that the fervent prayers of a righteous man sincerely availeth much, and we're trusting God that he is a God who does not lie, and that he will answer each and every prayer. And so far we even thank God we have some testimonies, you know, from the prayer that has gone forth. So to God be the glory for the great things done. So, Pastor Rebecca, again, yes, thank you so much. Thank you for being who you are in God and allowing this time, this space, and this opportunity. So, yes, people, please tune in. Join us with the noonday prayer, because Jesus tells us. He tells us to watch and pray. We don't know when the end is near. He tells us, cease not to pray. And also when he said to the disciples, can you at least pray with me just 1 hour? If all these other religions can do it, why can't we, the believers of God? We always saying we want and need something for God. I know, but then we don't want to pray. All right, Pastor Rebecca, God bless you. Well, tune in. Amen.
My husband's like, what in the world? We are off the air. God bless you. God bless you, Pastor Larry Sargent. I'll go over to Christian Faith Family Center over on Pastor Larry, give us the address to your church.
It is 10714 South Wentworth Avenue. That's
10714
South Wentworth.
Amen. And your service time?
Our service times are on Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock a.m., Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and Sunday morning at 10 o'clock.
Wow. Amen. And, again, you can listen to Pastor Larry Sarton on Moments in the Word, blogtalkradio.com/pastor-larry-sarton, S-A-R-T-I-N, every Wednesday at 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And also they are streaming. You're streaming your services on Sunday, right, Pastor Larry?
Yes, ma'am, at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Ustream as well.
Okay.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen. You can catch the archive, so do not stay home from church to catch Pastor Larry's preaching.
I know that's right. Go to church, hallelujah.
So the archive is always there. You might find an old one of me when I was in Chicago if you look for
it. Oh, yeah.
Praise
it's
God.
Amen. So God bless you. Sister, I almost called you Minister Erica.
Amen.
Minister Erica. Sister Erica Anderson, God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen. So we're going off the air. We're going to go off the same way we came on with praise. Amen. And we're just going to sing praise God. We're going to go off with Kirk Franklin, just like we came on. I smile. God bless you. This has been Pastor Rebecca Simmons. I love you all. I love you all. And give my regards to Lady Carol, Pastor Larry.
I sure will.
Okay. Amen. So this has been Pastor Rebecca Simmons with Women to Women. Tell somebody about the archive. Post it on your Facebook page, and let's continue to smile. God bless you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, unemployment.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day, but where are my blue skies? Where is the love and the joy that you promised to tell me it's alright?
I'll be honest with you.
I almost gave up. A power that I can't explain. Fell from heaven like a shower.
When I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over.
That feels good. I know God is working, so I smile.
All want you to be happy, but then you gotta have something to have sin. I want you to have joy, cause can't nobody take that from you.